the session of the Senate Associated Students to order on Wednesday, May 17, 2017, at 5:36 p.m. in the Regal Lake Council Chambers on the third floor of the Joe Crowley Student Union. Moving into agenda item 2, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now moving to agenda item 3, roll call.
Speaker Jackson.
Present.
Senator Becker.
Present.
Senator Billman.
Absent excused.
Senator Bussman.
Present.
Senator Camuli.
Present.
Senator Cook.
Present.
Senator Cynthia Lee?
Present.
Senator Flangus?
Present.
Senator Kirkendall?
Present.
Senator Lippy?
Present.
Senator Ma?
Present.
Senator Maul?
Present.
Senator Martinez?
Present.
Senator Pandingbatten?
Present.
Senator Starwar? Senator Say?
Present.
Senator Smith?
Absent excused.
Senator Spapka?
Present.
Senator Sullivan?
Present.
Senator Samo?
Absent excuse.
Senator Toole.
Present.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Moving to agenda item 5, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Ms. Younger, if you'd like to come up. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so my name is Bailey Gamber, and I was a liberal arts senator in the 85th session, and I'm still an active member of the student body today. I'm here today to express my concern over the nomination of Kyle Fang for the Office of Assistant Director of Event Programming, Budget, and Finance. In my time with ASUM for 2 years, I never saw people outside of this realm come to contest an appointment as a member of public comment. So being the first in a while to do so, I'm a little nervous. I'm nervous because I know that the president doesn't really like opposition, as evidenced by his determination to not have any officers in the cabinet who publicly opposed him. I'm nervous because I really care about the student government, and I don't want to see a year of poor programming due to poor selection of officers. I'm nervous because even if I list all the reasons that I don't believe Fang should be assistant director, some of you will still support him in this role out of loyalty, indifference, peer pressure, or any other reason. I know that Fang served as the chair of budget and finance in the past session, but budgeting within Senate and within programming include very different tasks. In Senate, you pose a lot of questions about budget issues that are being proposed by those above you in exec, and work on case sheets throughout the session. However, in programming, you're responsible for a several hundred thousand dollar budget that needs to be divided properly, along with budgeting for individual events. For example, if a new programmer or intern asks Fang estimates for how much money would be needed for security or Joe staff or another item, he wouldn't know due to inexperience in the subject. I don't know whether or not Fang has had event planning experience in any of his other activities, but creating an event from the ground up for the entire 20,000 student population is on a much larger scale than playing a club social would be. As an assistant director, he should be knowledgeable and is supposed to be looked up to as a leader and role model in his own department. I do not believe someone can serve as an experienced leader in a department that they've never had anything to do with. I also know that several other people applied for this position who had 2 or 3 years of programming experience and would be able to easily help with budgeting and planning events, managing interns, providing answers, and using feedback from previous years to improve the programming department. I'm not here to advocate for those specific people, but I do not see how the director and president chose someone completely new for an assistant director position over these other, more qualified individuals. If Fang is showing interest in programming, he would be so much better suited to start out as a regular programmer, where he can learn the ropes without having an entire staff looking on him and depending on him, when he most likely won't know the answer himself. I appreciate you all for your time and for listening to the voice of a concerned member of the student body.
Thank you. Is there any additional public comment at this time? Dr. Bean.
Hello, Senator. Welcome. Just a couple reminders. One, you're going to be hearing, you guys have a special election tonight, which is very exciting because you're going to fill an empty seat and some constituents are going to get another representative. I spoke with Oversight today, and I'm going to remind all of the senators here now that unlike the appointees that are coming up in front of you, these senators have not been through a formal interview process, so this is actually their interview. So I ask you to reach back to the things that you provided when you were running for office and ask them what needs those things, right? You all came up with goals that you had in mind for the year, how you represent your constituents in your individual college and across campus and things like that. So just remember that at this point, you're the entire vetting process for these individuals. And I'm not asking you to be, overly anything over the top, right? But just ask those questions that, you know, there are reasons you all became senators, right? And there are goals and plans you have, things you do. And there are certain things that people should have as a public service. So I would just explore those ideas when asking questions. And I just wanted to do it now so you have a little bit of time to think about it during the meeting when it came up. The other thing is you know, Speaker Jackson has added a meeting for next week. We really need to meet quorum. There's important legislation on it. There's a board appointment. So I'm really hoping that you guys can meet quorum. And I know enough people have responded to Speaker Jackson to meet quorum. So let's just please make sure that happens. And thanks for doing that.
Thank you, Dr. Beattie. And I will mention, too, that before the special election of the senator, we will be having a period where we talk about potential questions that we could ask to the candidates. So is there any additional public comment at this time? Right, and I would also like to welcome to all the high schoolers that are in the room today. I'm so excited that you're here. But if you need me to fill out a form from you, if you would like to just send me an email, I can send you the PDF version of that, or if you catch me after the meeting, you can help sign that too. Seeing that one of our nominees has an event to attend to, we're going to move right into agenda item 11 and then item C from that. So the nomination of Precious Benjo to the Office of Director of Diversity and Inclusion. I'm seeking a motion to approve the nomination. Senator Flangus.
I move to approve the nomination of
Precious Benjo
to the Office of Director of Sustainability.
Diversity and Inclusion.
I'm sorry.
Is there a second? Sarah Martinez.
Second.
All right. I would like to invite President Texera up to the table to present his nomination as well as a question. Here, you can go right here.
Precious, the programmer from last year. The reason why this application stood out to me was because I actually had directors from last year come and speak to me about how passionate they were about this applicant. Director of programming last year, Director Hurdle, said that she was perfect for this position, and in her position in programming, she did an incredible job. And the Director of Diversity and Inclusion reached out to me as well, and he recommended her favorably. But I'm going to let her talk about herself.
All right, Ms. Benjo, you will have 10 minutes to present to the body, as well as a 10-minute question and answer period, and whenever you're ready, you can begin.
All right. So, hello, everyone. Again, my name is Precious, and I am the nominee for Director of Diversity and Inclusion. So, to me, diversity is obviously a very broad topic. There's a lot of subgroups of individuals within diversity. Race, ethnicity, values, culture, backgrounds, beliefs, it's all in diversity, sexual affiliation. So diversity is a very important topic, which is why this position is so important, and it's especially important to me because when I was growing up in high school, I did not have, diversity was always on the back burner. It was never really something like you talked about in high school or you thought about all the time. There was about 5 black people in my graduating class. Like, diversity wasn't very big, for me at least. And then when I got to college and I joined several organizations, like the Black Student Organization, I joined Sisters on a Move, which is predominantly black women, and I joined the Reno African Student Association, then I started to see just how many, like, different groups there are, not even just on campus, but and even with the political climate that there is now, how important more now than ever diversity and inclusion is, because there are groups of people out there that don't feel like they're welcome, whether it's on campus, whether it's in the country. So it is a very important topic, and I believe that inclusion and diversity are very interchangeable. They're reciprocal. You can't understand inclusion without understanding diversity. You can't be diverse if you're not inclusive to every person. So I believe that every group on campus, all the minorities, deserve to have their voices heard, especially within ASUN. I believe it's their responsibility to cater to the needs of the several students that are on campus, which is why this position is so important. And for me, specifically, I want to be able to educate people that were like me, who didn't really know about diversity, coming in, to educate them on, you know, embracing their roots and being proud of where they come from and knowing that they are safe here. And And even though it's, and I think I'm qualified for this position because I'm able to relate to people. I can't relate to everybody, no one can, but, you know, trying to be the liaison and the representative of people out there who maybe aren't getting as much representation on this campus as they can, whether it's through events or whether it's through meetings or, you know, passing legislation. So that is why I believe that diversity inclusion is very important. So my qualifications for this position, I have partaken in a lot of leadership roles during my time in high school and in college. In college specifically, being, you know, I was the events chair for Sisters on the Move. I was on the I was the leader of the events committee for Black Student Organization, and I was an events programmer. So programming to me, I'm able to kind of do those basic things. My experience in programming has taught me the basic rules and guidelines to be able to throw an event. And also in the aspect of diversity, being I was the vice president for BSO for this past year, and I'm the transitioning president for next year. So being able to have those connections within BSO, I have a relationship with the people in the center, every student, every story, who really try to make sure that every student's voice is heard and every student matters. As far as teaching, I have had mentorship roles. I was a mentor to an intern during my time as events programmer, and also I was part of the Big Brothers Big Sister program at the Boys and Girls Club, which I was a mentor to an underprivileged teenager. She was in high school. She was about 13 years old. You know, just kind of being a mentor for that person, for people that don't really have these, you know, family backgrounds, or someone telling them that they can do it, or someone telling them that they can go to college and things like that. So those are my qualifications for the position. And as Director of Diversity and Inclusion, there are, there are a lot of involvements on and off campus that I want to take part of in this upcoming year, in this upcoming session. Just to name a few, there's the Diversity Summit that just previously happened. There's the Unity and Diversity Forum along with the Center. Involvement with the Diversity Initiative Committees. Just all these different initiatives to help, just so that the campus knows and that the community knows that there is this position in ASUN, that ASUN does care and advocate for a diverse campus and for an inclusive campus, and that even though we are a predominantly white institution, that everyone is welcome on this campus, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from.
Great. All right, we'll move into a question and answer period. Are there questions for the nominee? Senator Becker.
Senator Becker, last name is Benjo.
Benjo, yeah, the
G silent. Awesome. So, Ms. Benjo, you talked about how you plan to educate the population on, like, diversity and, like, other sensitivities related to the topic. How do you plan to go about educating the student body?
I think through events would be the biggest one to reach out there. Having events where you could even bring out these different clubs and these different organizations so that people know, because not everyone even knows that these kind of clubs exist and that this group of people is even on our campus and that they're involved in, you know, their things. So being out there with events, whether it's tabling events, whether it's holding carnivals or having a barbecue, just so people know that we do care about diversity and that we care about inclusion. And I think a lot of people, ignorance is probably the best word, which is never used, and it's not only a bad connotation, but ignorance in the fact that a lot of people just don't know. They may not know what's offensive and what's not offensive. They may not know that they're being offensive, basically. So I think education is the biggest part of that. And for anyone willing to listen, it's all worth it when people can open their eyes to those kind of things.
Other questions for the candidate? Senator Bessie.
So I asked this on Oversight Committee already, but would you be willing to present to Senate at the beginning of next semester with a comprehensive breakdown of exactly how you're going to use your budget?
Yes, I can do that for next semester.
And then with the budget, I had a question about that. We've seen President Teixeira allocated an extra $10,000 to diversity initiatives, so I was just wondering if you can explain to the body how you plan on using that budget increase.
I definitely want to throw one or two large-scale events. One of my ideas was to have kind of a diversity carnival or a diversity fest where all the clubs, anyone willing, would come out. You could display clothing, you could display pictures, photographs, you could like henna painting, Indian tacos, just whoever's interested and reaching out to those clubs and organizations to come out. They could set up a carnival game that they want to do, face painting, anything like that. And then all students are welcome, the community's welcome to come and take part in all of these activities, along with like carnival rides and the basic jump houses and things like that. But then like with the rest of the budget, I would just like to support other initiatives on campus and other clubs and organizations on campus with their events and to just be a support system for the campus.
Any other questions?
I know you said in one of your long-term goals, and I know we talked about it in oversight, but you said that you wanted to work with the Reno community to improve diversity. And can you just give us an example of like one of the ways that students would work with the Reno community?
So as far as the Reno community, there are a lot of groups outside of the campus that also I believe that the campus could reach out to and help them as far as diversity and inclusion. The Boys and Girls Club, they're a big one. They hold events all the time. They have after-school programs for underprivileged students. I think that having advocates from UNR going over there, helping them, you know, and then while they're there, you can talk to those students about UNR. Have you heard about UNR? Have you thought about applying? What are your plans? Things like that, because I think diversity, like with underprivileged students especially, is a problem as far as graduation rates, retention rates, even coming to college. And so it's important to get out into the community and get the kids that are young after school programs in high schools and just to be involved in the community rather than keeping it campus wide.
Yeah.
Senator
Lee.
On your short-term goals, you said that you wanted to bring awareness to minority issues on and off campus. What are some of the issues that you wanted to like, prioritize?
I think just a lot of these social kind of injustices that have been going on in the country and even on campus. Like I don't know who has seen, but in the last couple of days someone wrote nigger in the elevator in the KC. So things like that, kind of educating on campus about how that's not okay, is really important to me. And kind of talking about social issues that are going around in the news and bringing them on campus, seeing how students feel about them, seeing what we can do to kind of help and improve the situation.
Any other questions for the candidate? Senator Martinez.
Within your platform that you have provided for us, you have an internship program that you kind of addressed. Could you talk a little bit more about that? Because it's not in the SAS that you guys had an internship, but I know that's something you would like to expand on.
Well, yeah, I think that's something I would have to work with President Teixeira on because I'm not really sure the structure. I was just doing that because I'm kind of based off of how programming was. So if there were interns, I would like to implement an intern program. But I think first, like, we need to work on getting the structure of what the department would be before we moved into that.
Senator
Lee.
Under your creative ideas, you said, never mind.
All right. Senator Sirkino?
I know it was asked by someone else during oversight, but I'd just like to ask again. In your fourth point for short-term goals, you said that you want to build a diversity and inclusion board with individuals driven with the goal of improving diversity. What's certain characteristics of those individuals, or what things are you looking for when filling those roles?
I would just ask for passion and dedication. If you're not passionate about diversity, I don't think that they would fit the position properly, because in order to actually care enough to take an action against, you know, to take an action for being inclusive and for being diverse, you would need to be passionate about it, or else why should you care? And basically dedication, because I think the it is a very small department right now. It's very new, and so in order to build it up and have the new people would have to really kind of like build it kind of from the ground up, and so those people would have to be very strong and dedicated into turning this department into something much bigger than it already is.
Other questions? All right. Seeing none, we're going to move into our general discussion period. We ask that you do leave the room at this time, but you're not required to print it out with the people. Thank you. All right. Discussion on the nominee. Senator Bussman.
Just point of information, I'd like to reiterate that she created her platform before knowing about the budget expansion for the position. So I think with the budget that she was actually working with in creating this platform, that it's a solid start, and she seems ready to be held accountable for everything that she's talked about so far. So I think she's a promising candidate.
Other points of discussion? Anyone else? Senator Martinez?
She has a lot of ideas for the position, and she keeps on reiterating that the position is fairly new, and she's kind of understanding this and kind of paving the way in which it needs to be led. And I really like her ideas, and in addition to that, she has a lot of experience and background with diversity and inclusion, and she's sure to identify what she defines as diversity, and is also reiterating within her speech, like, this is what I define diversity as, but at the same time, there are other people of color that I cannot relate to because I don't identify as them, which I would like to reach out to those individuals. So I think it's also important to remember that although she identifies as a person of color, she realizes that she cannot represent everyone, and she wants to make sure that we're able to reach everyone.
Other points of discussion? Certainly.
Oh, I feel like how she was, like, able to talk about sensitive subjects, not, like, how they look like that word on the elevator. I didn't know about that. But I feel like she kind of made all students feel good.
Great. All right. Any other points of discussion? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote. So all those in favor of approving the nomination of Precious Benjo to the Office of Director of Diversity and Inclusion, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? And motion carries. She's our new director, so if I can get her sheet. Congratulations, Precious. You're our new director.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
Congratulations. Agenda item 7, reports to the ASU and officers. Item A, President of the Associated Students. Go ahead, Sarah.
The first thing I was working on, I met with Kevin Harmon, the provost, about how a student came to my office the other day and talked about how there is no map on campus, online, or really anywhere composed by the university that shows gender neutral bathrooms. So Patricia Richards is actually working on it right now, and I set the student up with her, and they're going to be working together to create one for not only the online purpose, but add it to the ASUN app. I talked to the center too about kind of where they see diversity moving on this campus, and it was a really interesting conversation with Ricky and Elaine. So I'm excited to see what comes through the year after that conversation. I was also working with Chuck Bryce again on the expansion of the Joe Fry Student Union. That's going to be a conversation that's going to be had all year. He's going to come in early in the fall to talk about it more with you guys and kind of give your input and talk about the survey that he put out to students. If you guys haven't taken that survey, I don't know if it's closed yet, but they really need your opinion on that survey that they sent out about the Joe College Student Union. I have my meeting next week with Dr. Shannon Ellis and President Mark Johnson, and we, with Speaker Jackson, are going to be discussing all the things that we're going over. So if you guys have any ideas or anything that you're going to be working on in the coming weeks, send it to either Speaker Jackson and I, and we can talk about it with Dr. Shannon Ellis and President Mark Johnson. They usually give us a pretty good idea of who to talk to and where to go to accomplish these things. So send them our way. You guys have any questions?
Any questions, Senator Becker?
Real quick, so is there a timeline established for that extension of the jail?
So that's going to take, like, the process is it starts out with the students talking about it and then compiling information on what the students want to see the Joe doing. Then it would move into an architect coming in and seeing our options and talking to us about a price. Then it would move into getting a student vote. And then it would move into talking to the administration, President Mark Johnson, that is, about how much it would cost in the student vote. Then it would go to the regents, and then we would start the construction. So it could take anywhere from 2 to 4 years.
Any other questions? Do you have
anyone else's
questions? Yes. So the next
thing will be the report of the Vice President. Just waiting on new student initiatives to send the official times for orientation so we can get officers signed up. We're doing hats and water bottles for getting involved workshops. We'll show you the designs next meeting. What he means by the hats and water bottles, traditionally we just hand out water bottles to students when they go through the Getting Involved tour of ASUN and the presentation. But this year we decided to add hats to the mix. We're going to do water bottles all year. We just thought it'd be kind of cool to have hats at orientation for students to wear when they're getting tours around campus.
Okay. Any questions concerning the Vice President's report? All right, thank you. We'll move into item C, Chief of Staff, Professor Bradley.
Hey, everybody. So I'm just working on some of the same projects, retreat training, and the Green Dot training. Nothing much has really changed. We're just still hammering out the details. It's a lot of ordering, signing off invoices, some, you know, office things and like things like that. So nothing too big right now, but there will be coming.
Okay. Any questions for Chief of Staff Bradley? Thank you. Director of Sustainability McNeese, is he here? He is not. Attorney General Cameron Harris.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Hi. Great. Okay, so tomorrow we have our trial for Brandon Rust versus President Ted Sierra. So I'll be representing ASUN, the student body, for that. Other than that, that's all I've got going on. I've been preparing for that. So if you guys have any other questions about legislation or any other amendment you want to act, just please reach out to me. Use that cool function on the documents drive and contact the Attorney General through the cool function we have, because I'd really like to appreciate that. So, any questions?
Senator Becker.
Are these meetings open to the public?
Yeah, it's an open meeting.
This meeting's not.
Sorry.
No. Okay. Chief of Staff Lucetta will discuss that in his report. Chief Justice. I'm sorry.
No.
All right. Any other questions for our Attorney General? All right. Thank you. Seeing none, we'll go to the Director of Programming, Mia Cannell.
Hi guys, how are you?
Good.
Okay, so I met with 360 Learning this week to discuss the barbecues that are happening over summer. I have the dates for those if you guys want to jot them down. The first will be June 1st, the second is June 22nd, and the third is July 27th. One more time, June 1st, June 22nd, and July 27th. And as I mentioned previously, this will be great outreach for you all, so please come and help. The times will be from 11:30 until 1, or until we run out of food. It's usually a pretty great time, chill environment. Okay. Next up is, I have my assistant director candidates up for nomination today. I'll address that when the time comes. I'm conducting programmer interviews all day tomorrow. I have a meeting with the Joe coming up, and as always, I'm working on my BLS proposal.
Great. Any questions for Director Pinnell? All right. And I will note, too, remember that students are paying into the association even over the summer, so it's really important that we're still outreaching to constituents and volunteering at those programs and events even when we're not in those full semesters. And I'm sure she'll reach out to you guys with volunteer opportunities when the time comes. We'll go into the Director of Clubs and Organizations, Sarah DeSomero.
Hey guys, first official report. So, here are the main points regarding my activity in the past week. So, I set up a meeting with Jacob Bolt, Director of ASU and Front Desk Services, tomorrow to talk about the potential for expanding our current lineup for club resources and to implement an accountability system for clubs and orgs. And I'm going to see how that goes. I might potentially implement it as a project, but I'm not sure yet, depending on what the commissioner interests are, of course. I have actually contacted a senator already, Senator Thummel, regarding a SASH change, to change the title of the Club Sports Funding Manager to Assistant Director of Clubs and Organizations, as well as updating other components of the SAS as well. And I'm going to be working with him on that. And if any of you guys are also in the Committee of Government Operations, I would also love your support on the bill as well, or any input that you have for that. And I'm planning on presenting that on the 31st. Yeah, you're in the meeting on the 31st. Yep. So on the 31st, for a SAS change. I've also done my nominations for the department. There were 18 applications for the commissioner position, and there are only 6 spots. There are 4 for the funding manager position, with only 1 spot open for that. As you can see, it was very, very difficult, probably the 7 most difficult decisions I've made in my life. But I will have those nominations ready by tomorrow for all 7 positions for you guys to hear next Wednesday. I've decided to assign the coalition to commissioners based on each nominee's strengths, qualifications, and personality, wherever they would be best fit for that. So stay tuned for that. I also have a plan to reorganize the Clubs and Orgs agenda to include the tasks, projects, and department initiatives, as mentioned during my interview here a while ago, as a section to, I guess, align with my theme of development and to really have the commission this year be project focused. Earlier today, at around 11, I had the Wolfpack welcome meeting with Karen Lindlock. I believe Director of Programming, Mia Canel, was also there. And we all talked about potentially collaborating with a few big ideas with that, but mainly I want to talk about Club Fair and Ivy Conference. Club Fair is tentatively set for the first Thursday of the school year, so mark your calendar for that. It'll be in the quad. Every year, we always break our record. So far, the past 2 years, with the amount of people that come. So even though it is on a Thursday, I think there will still be a lot of people passing by during class, and it's going to be a pretty fun event. There's also iLead Conference, which is tentatively set for the second Saturday of the school year, and that's essentially our big leadership conference where we invite all the clubs and organizations and their club leaders to essentially do a lot of cool stuff and, I guess, build a lot of practical skills for running the organizations. And I plan on assigning these two, Club Fair and iLead, as short-term projects for one commissioner or a group of commissioners, so that we can make sure that there's people who have sort of their own pet project that can be really engaged with throughout the first 2 weeks of school. But other than that, that's my report, and you guys will hear a little bit more from me next week regarding what we will be doing during summer as a commission. Right.
Questions for Director DeSomero? All right, thank you. Director of Legislative Affairs, Spencer Schultz.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
So, just a word of advice. I feel like everybody should do this for your secretaries. Write out your report and then just send it to her so that she can just copy and paste it. Makes everything a lot more efficient. So, greeting senators, in the past 2 weeks, I've been tracking 5 bills in the state legislature, scheduling interviews for department positions, and I've recently submitted my nomination to the Senate for Assistant Director of Legislative Affairs. Speaker Jackson will provide you with further details once the agenda for the next Senate meeting has been posted. I am currently researching Democratic engagement software focused on voter registration. As our contract with TurboVote is in its last year, please contact me if you have any questions, suggestions, or guidance regarding this process. I would like to say thank you to Senators Becker and Bustin for reaching out to me regarding their respective committees. Any questions?
Any other questions for Director Schultz? All right, thank you. Chief Justice
Sam
Burketta.
Hey, Senator. Feel like real quick. a little bit of miscommunication. So, as you guys know,
We're set for the general hearing for Brandon Rutherford, President Teixeira, tomorrow. I kind of goofed on my end. It's actually a closed meeting stated here by the Nevada Board of Regents. I didn't know that. Dr. Beattie was nice enough to help me. Usually my command goes, I look in the staff, not the Constitution. I get on the phone with Dr. Beattie. So Dr. Beattie threw me a line. So we have that coming up. And other than that, we will be closing one of the associate justice positions this Friday and leaving one of them open. So if you guys have any constituents that you believe you would like, that you would like to recommend for that position, make sure to reach out to them, and we should have someone in front of you guys probably early June.
Any questions for Chief Justice Lieutenant? Senator Flankus.
Just to clarify, like, if we're going to tell people about that, what's, like, the application process? Is it just submitting something online to you?
Yeah, so or the application process is just like any other position. So you'll apply, and then I'll get all the names once they're approved for the position, and then I'll work with them after that. Usually I have them write up just a draft brief for me, as well as go through some really fun interview questions.
And all those applications can be found on the UNR job search website if you have constituents that are wondering. Dr. Beattie?
I didn't hear. Maybe Sam did say it. There is one different qualification for that position. It's a minimum number of credits already paid, right?
Yeah, and that minimum number is 60, so junior and standing. Credit-wise, you don't have to call yourself a junior, but you need to have 60 completed credits.
All right, any other questions? Seeing none, thank you. Oh, sorry, Senator Lee.
Oh, just to clarify, so with the hearing tomorrow, then no one's allowed to show except for,
Yeah, so the only individuals that will be there will be the respondents of both parties. Will be Mr. Rusk and Attorney General Harris, as well as any evidence or witnesses. Thank you. Witnesses that were provided by each party.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll go into my report really quick. I would just say great job to everyone so far. I would recommend for you to use the summer to really lay a foundation for how your whole year is that it's going to go. It's kind of crazy once the fall semester starts, so get some work done during the summer. But we'll see you next week for our meeting. I need that individual role screen by Friday at 5. Like President Teixeira mentioned in his report, we're having our meeting with Dr. Ellis and President Johnson on Tuesday, and I would love to submit all of your guys' goals and things you want to do for the upcoming year to them. Regarding absences, unless there's an extenuating circumstance where you have to tell me quickly before the meeting, I would really love if you guys would notify me at least 24 hours in advance if you were going to be absent for either a Senate meeting or the Committee on Oversight, the meetings that I chair. If it is not within 24 hours in advance, the absence will be unexcused, and you will get points for that. So just make sure you tell me before. Now, it doesn't apply, so don't worry about it, but for meetings in the future, 24 hours in advance is the rule. Are there any questions for me? All right. Thank you. We'll go into agenda item A, reports of the Senate committees. Item A, chair of the Committee on Academics, Kennedy.
Okay. Hi guys. So Dr. Beattie was nice enough to send me the timeline for the undergraduate research. It was kind of disappointing to know that the NURA, the Nevada Undergraduate Research Board, only got 44 applicants compared to around 70 something last year, I believe. So we have to really get on top of that, advertising the application deadline and what NURA is. And also, I will be excited we got music opportunities for my community members, so we can have an effective summer. Like Speaker Jackson said, we can get paid during the summer, so we still have to do stuff. And I think that's about it, so yeah.
Great. And then I would encourage all of you guys, when it comes to advertising for that and trying to get more applicants, to work within all of your colleges, because it's not just for science or engineering majors, it's for everyone that wants to apply for undergraduate research. So maybe if we can coordinate some way that every college can advertise that, I think that would be great. But great work. Chair of the Committee on Budget and Finance, Senator Kirkendall.
All right. Hello, everyone. So the last meeting that we had for the committee was actually before last Senate meeting, so I can't kind of touched on the things that I'm going to be reiterating today, but just to reiterate, there are going to be three pieces of legislation brought up today, all from the Budget and Finance Committee, so we'll get to that later. As for anything that's happened between last week and this week, there was an error correction that was made to the budget, and in doing so, we had to balance it out, so you'll see that piece of legislation next week, during next week's meeting. Other than that,
great. Any questions for Senator Kirkendall? Seeing none, we'll move to the chair of the Committee on Student Engagement, Senator Flingus.
There's not much to update. Again, our last meeting was a while back, but we are going to have those goals ready. I'm going to send out to everyone in my committee a little like workup of who they're going to contact for Service Palooza. It'll be around 8 to 10 organizations, and they'll come up with an additional one on top of that. We're trying to top Senator Green's former record, so it should be exciting. And Service Palooza seems to be coming along really well. I'm really excited about it, and I look forward to working with Director Pinnell on that. And in terms of Give Pulse, there has been some talk about the integration. I'm meeting with Senator Bussman, and we're meeting with people in charge of what kind of integration could work. As of right now, it looks like the only possibility is to put it on as like a widget on your,
Web campus.
Oh my god, okay. So, put it on a widget, but if we can find an interface where they did it at a different university where they integrated Give Pulse as a module, then we can model ours off of that and find a budget off of that. So, I'm going to work on trying to find one over summer, but as of right now, we might be stuck with the widget until we figure out how to create an entirely new program. So, we're going to have that talk though on Tuesday. So, next set of meetings, we'll have some updates on how to integrate Give Pulse and how that will all work out. Again, right now it's very tentative, but we're looking for a model. So if you know any campuses that use Give Pulse, and yeah, let me know.
Thank you. Any questions for Senator Flingus? All right, we'll move it to the chair of the committee on. Oh, Senator Thummel's not here today. Sorry. Chair of the Committee on Public Affairs, Senator Becker.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So last Friday we had our public affairs meeting. It was very successful. We voted our vice chair, Ms. Karat, Star Wars. I was pretty sure we got that. And then we basically had another brainstorm session with my 11th commemoration, and we brought some more ideas about that. Some ideas we would want to do with the American flag, maybe doing some sort of posting of like miniature American flags around like the lawn out front of the show. And Vice Chair Starash had a good idea. She said she wanted to get like colors are all, or flags are all the same color, but make it a giant American flag out front, so it could be seen from like the case scene up here, so it's just like a big flag. And maybe get the news involved too, so kind of better if we can get out there to speak in, maybe on their behalf, or the rest of the veterans' behalf. And then we had an awesome public comment from Director Schultz, and he was also someone who I will include in my doodle and plan for next year's meeting.
Yeah, and for that 9/11 commemoration, if there's anything like flags you want to buy, just make sure you talk to me about that. We can order those in advance because I know last year it was a huge rush to get those in. So if we can get that planned as soon as possible, that would be great. But good work. Chair of the Committee on University Affairs. Oh, sorry. Any questions for Senator Becker? Seeing none, I'm the chair of the on the Committee on University Affairs, Senator Bussman.
Okay, so University Affairs had its last meeting of the semester last Friday. I think that all the individuals on my committee are going to be working on some pretty cool stuff, and I'll have more information on that as things are more set in stone. But going forward, I scheduled individual meetings with the majority of the committee to figure out more specifically what the summer plans will be. One thing that I'm looking at is figuring out where all of the senators that are going out of town are going to, and having them go to neighboring universities to look at their student government and things that they can take from those universities and bring back here, because I think that's a really cool source of information for us. As far as specific community-wide goals, we're going to be working with the Wolf Shop. If you didn't know, the Wolf Shop had a unprecedented financial loss this semester, and so Steve is looking at different options for trying to transition the Wolf Shop into something that can both serve the students better and will fit more in line with how textbooks are functioning with modern universities. More specifically, though, the issue that he came to us with since he came to our last meeting to speak to us, is that there's pretty poor communication between the faculty departments and the Wolf Shop, because the faculty don't submit their textbook requests in time for the Wolf Shop to get the books from the right sources, and that impacts the Wolf Shop, but more importantly, it impacts us because the books cost more and it's going to divert a lot of traffic. So something that I'm looking at, once Steve gets me the data on exactly what percentage of faculty from each department are submitting their requests on time, I'll be delegating out which senators on my committee will be talking to which departments so that we can have better communication between the Wolf Shop and those different faculty. Next, as far as outreach goes, I've spent tireless hours trying to think about how to create a new outreach program. I was beginning to think that it wasn't possible, but I found something, and I met with Director Schultz from Legislative Affairs today to talk specifically about outreach, and we're working on something really exciting, which we're hoping to present to Senate at the end of this month on the 31st.
Great. Any questions for Senator Bussman? All right. I'm also thinking for that, like with our individual colleges, with that, the faculty problem and the Wolf Shop, I mean, that's something we can coordinate too. When you guys do meet with your deans and talk to them, I think it's definitely something that would be beneficial to bring up. But are there any questions for Senator Bussman? All right, seeing none. For my report, all nominations you will be seeing tonight, excluding the appointment of the new senator, have been recommended favorably by the Committee on Oversight. And as well as you guys are submitting those individual senator written documentation reports, the committee chairs will be sending those all pertinent to their committee. So that's all I have for oversight. Any questions for me? Oh, I'm sorry. Speaker Pro Tem for Senator Martinez.
Okay.
I don't know if there are any questions for me. Senator Martinez, go ahead.
All I've been doing is I'm currently solidifying my syllabus and some lesson plans I have. I'm taking all the ideas I had in meeting with Chief of Staff Krista Bradley, and I'll be rescheduling a meeting with Chief of Staff Krista Bradley to go over all my final plans, since it's an entirely different platform. Not entirely, actually, but there's a lot of new ideas being implemented, and then after that, I'm going to be meeting with President Texera, and finally I'll be meeting with the Speaker, hopefully getting everyone's opinions and ideas within the platform for the interns regarding the APFIS session.
Great. I'm sorry for skipping over your. Are there any questions for Senator Martinez? All right. Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 9, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 10, motions to fast track appointments. So this, what we're voting on, is just a motion to fast track it. Usually they have to go to committee and then to Senate, but this like expedites that process, and we don't do the committee thing for approval of the senator. So I'm seeking a motion to fast track the appointment for the senator for the College of Engineering. Senator Martinez?
I move to fast track the appointments for the senators for the College of Engineering.
Is there a second? Senator Toole?
Second.
Is there any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. So they will be fast-tracked. So we'll move into agenda item 11, approval of appointments of senators and ASUN officials. First, we're going to do our approval of a new senator. So the nominations for the senator for the College of Engineering are as follows: Alex Krupe and Dylan Hedgepeth. At this time, I would like to ask that both candidates leave the room so we can discuss some questions that we can ask you during your nomination. Thank you. And we'll invite you back in. All right, so given Dr. Beebe's comments at the beginning and different things we've talked about, what are some pertinent questions that you think that we should ask these candidates? I also would encourage you to think about the College of Engineering and maybe ask some of our senators for the College of Engineering what important questions pertaining to that college do you think would be important to ask Senator Kirkendall?
One question that I really want to ask about the candidates is how they plan to get engineering students involved on campus, specifically within ASUN, just in college organizations.
Yeah, that's definitely something pertinent. Senator Martinez?
I think a very important question is if they're available Wednesdays at 5:30.
Very important. Senator Rucker.
I think most people know that Senator Grudy used to be a senator as well. I want to see if he's going to like bring anything like new to the table, or if he's going to maybe build on previous projects that he had when he was a previous senator.
Senator Plankus.
Also, if they don't touch on like specific platform goals, I want to push them to come up with like specific goals we can kind of pull them to, because we all helped them during our debates.
Yeah, and that was another thing that we kind of talked about. I'm not sure how much we talked about it in Senate, but remember, you know, when you were going through that process and at the debate, like what questions were really beneficial to you and you thought were important, knowing what you know now, other things you want to ask them. Anything else? Senator Kirkendall.
Seeing as this doesn't really apply to candidate Kruby, I'd like to know if candidate Hedgepeth met with any other previous senators specifically from the College of Engineering.
Senator Becker.
Also, specifically for nominee Hedgepeth?
Yes.
Hedgepeth. Is that any prior leadership experience or any sort of experience with ASUN?
Great. Any questions? All right. We'll invite them back in. We'll invite Mr. Kruby back in. Followed by a 10-minute question and answer period. So whenever you're ready,
we
begin.
Cool. So, super abnormal for me, but I actually wrote my speech to make it easier for the secretary. So I'm just going to read it off my iPad. Hello, senators. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alex Kruby. Today, I'm going to give you a somewhat unconventional presentation of myself and my ambitions. First, I'll start with my background, related experience, and goals I'd like to accomplish as a senator for the 85th session. Then I'll talk about why I'm here before you today, vying for another opportunity for a seat at the table. And finally, I'll finish with an idea that hopefully poses a rhetorical question for the body to consider. So, let's get into it. I am a second-year senior, double majoring in electrical engineering and computer science. I have served two terms as a senator for the College of Engineering, where in the 84th session I also served as a parliamentarian. I am a former president and treasurer for Tau Kappa Epsilon International Fraternity, as well as supervisor for the student meeting. Through these various positions, I've had the opportunity to develop myself and my leadership style while improving our community. I want to keep this short, so I'll get straight to my main goal, which would be the reformation of the university's current academic advising standard. As I'm sure many of you have experienced, there are disconnects in how individual colleges work together on advising. There are also at times disconnects in how different departments in the same college work together as well, and I want to try to work with every senator here to push each of our colleges to make a more streamlined and effective method of academic advisement, the scope of which would be seen beyond the development of a single college. Again, trying to keep this short and allow ample time for questions and discussion, I'll move towards why I sit before you tonight. The last few years, civic engagement has become a pivotal part of my life and has shown me the impact a small group of people can have if they work together with respectful, honest, and direct discourse. And that is exactly why I'm here. In my time as a senator, I was able to understand how to present a topic in another light, how to add perspective to a conversation, and most importantly, how to keep an honest and direct line of questioning respectful. I'll even use today's nomination as an example, and this is where things get a little weird and unorthodox. I'm not here to compete against the other two gentlemen who have applied for the position. If your decision tonight is based purely off experience, then it is notably difficult to compare someone with little to no ASUN experience to a two-term senator. But that's the thing. Tonight's decision is based on a lot more than just that. Oftentimes, when the body is hearing from someone who has been nominated for a position, they are deciding if the position will be filled or left open for a few weeks. And tonight, I intend to give the body a different set of options. As a body, you need to recognize that an appointed position allows you not only to vet the candidate and fill an empty Senate seat, but allows you to handpick a new member for your team that will balance well with your strengths and compensate for any weaknesses to help you achieve your goals. You will quickly find that you do not just represent the students in your college, and with that being said, you will be working on projects as a team that will benefit the university as a whole, and in this mindset, you can evaluate what you have here tonight to fill this position based on what you need to complete your team. And I'll be frank with you. If you're looking for someone with wide eyes, ready to take on the world and spitball ideas left and right about legislation and projects, not your guy. However, if you're looking for someone who's dedicated to upholding the integrity of the position and the association, who can provide insight on the last two sessions and who will pose difficult questions without a political facade while helping to facilitate efficient solutions to the problems you might have, then I'd be happy to serve for a third term. That's all I've got for tonight, and by acknowledgement of the speaker, I will now take any questions.
Any questions for the candidate?
So, so you've obviously been a two-term senator, and I'm sure you've had a lot of projects and ideas that you've had in your previous two terms. Do you plan to carry any of those ideas over to your new term if appointed, or do you have any new ideas you'd like to bring to the table?
Sure. So, the biggest one that I, like, had left that I was still wanting to work on was the academic advisement thing. I had already worked on it with the College of Engineering specifically. I just mainly want to be able to branch out and work with other senators for their colleges to accomplish things. To be honest with you, the College of Engineering and the new engineering senators might have already run into this. They at least operate like they already have everything figured out. There's not really much that ASUN can provide for them at this point other than a line of communication. So often it ends up, for colleges like that, it ends up their job to work with the rest of the Senate body on any projects that they have. But the only one that I'm bringing back is advisement. Otherwise, it would be whatever is pertinent currently, not what was necessary the last 2 years.
Any other questions? Sir, can we go?
Of your two terms of being a senator, what can you honestly say is your greatest achievement?
My greatest achievement is probably actually writing and putting through legislation for the Veterans Scholarship. It seemed really minor, but in having talked to the Veterans Association about it, it was actually a big deal for them. So that, I think, was my greatest achievement because it was kind of something that just went through. It passed unanimously. There wasn't much discussion, but it was something that impacted a very important group of our students, and it impacted them in a way that they remembered 2 years later.
Senator Martinez.
I had a question within your speech. So you just talked about how you're not a person who would, or if applied into this position, you're not the kind of person who would be one to, like, create legislation, but more kind of provide insight is what I got out of that. My question would be, why would you choose to state that? And is that kind of showing your weaknesses and your strengths into what you can provide for this Senate session?
So the reason that I say that, I don't think that legislation is necessarily the most effective way to get things done. I think that writing up a piece of legislation and sending it to the director of a building or department is nice and fancy, but it doesn't always get things done. Sometimes it takes the vice president being blinded by the sun and the director of the student union coming down for something to finally be put up after 2 years of legislation. So it doesn't always work on paper. Sometimes you just need to have conversations with the right people. And what I mean by that, with saying that I'm not just going to spitball ideas for legislation and projects left and right, I am much more of a solutions person. If you give me an issue or an idea, I will tell you in very clear detail how to accomplish what you're trying to do or how to fix that problem, but I'm not always one to just go out and say, oh, here's a problem. I'll just find solutions to the problems people bring.
Other questions?
So I know this is just one of, like, the big things that we talked about is, like, outreach within the position. So you've had experience with it, but I'm wondering, like, what can you, and I know I talked about in your campaign, outreach, so, like, what can you lend to this, like, Senate body, and also what would you do in your position to extend outreach to, like, the diversity of our campus?
Sure. And I had already spoken to Senator Bussman as well when he was looking for ideas on outreach, and I didn't, frankly, have any new ones off the top of my head at that time. In the last 2 years, we've toyed around with a lot of different ideas with outreach. I think the one that I heard that was probably most appealing and, if implemented correctly, could be the most effective would be senators tabling in their respective colleges. That does then pose an issue for colleges like the Liberal College of Liberal Arts that don't necessarily have a dedicated building. But in doing that, the students are seeing you in their main building every single day, and that's a lot more effective than just sitting out front of the Joe or in the KZ. Other than that, actually being able to go out and talk to clubs and organizations, whether that delegation is assigned by the speaker or by public affairs or university affairs, to have senators actually go out, do outreach, talk to clubs, talk to classrooms. Oftentimes, I think that talking to large classrooms, especially in the fall, is overlooked. But I think it was last year. Yeah, because it was with Senator Urquidy. We went and talked to Engineering 100, and just in that one class, you're talking to 500-plus students. So it's really a better way to get outreach. Going in and talking to them, I saw questions and got to talk to a lot of them about their concerns, more so than I did in an entire year doing tabling in the evening session.
Other questions? Sarah Salka.
So in your speech, you say that the College of Engineering, or what are they, that if you were elected senator, that you can't do anything for the College of Engineering, you just kind of be in a line of communication with them, or will you attempt to help them in some way?
Sure. And thank you for asking that to clarify. So, no, not necessarily. What I'm saying is that there is no ever-present need from the College of Engineering for help from ASUN. There isn't something that they're currently lacking, that they're reaching out to us saying, we need help with this, what can you do? There are, however, things like actually going to the Engineering Leadership Council and seeing what they're doing, seeing what they need. That is one of the best ways to actually get information, or being able to talk to the deans to see what direction they're going and continue to help them push in that direction. What I mean to say with that is that the College of Engineering isn't like reaching out for financial assistance from ASUN. It isn't reaching out to try to figure out what it can do for events. There are multiple engineering-related clubs that work directly with the College of Engineering to throw events. So they already have the main things a lot of senators do with their colleges covered. So that is kind of the help that I mean they don't need. Where a lot of colleges, I mean, doing things like Business Week or Health Week and working directly with those colleges, those are kind of things that the College of Engineering elects to work with the clubs and organizations that work with them to, like, put those on, and they all have separate days. Yeah.
Other questions? Senator Sullivan.
Could you explain to this session why you were censured in the 83rd, particularly what happened when it was developed and when you went?
If I remember correctly, it was missing meetings. Yeah. Okay, yeah. 90% sure it was missing meetings. I would have to check records. But that censure was related to just not being able to make a certain set of meetings after we had changed the schedule, and I just wasn't getting that communicated to the chairs properly at that time. That's the start of the session.
Other questions? Sir Stockman.
And then you are available Wednesdays at 5:30.
Mm-hmm. Not today, but normally, yeah. I work at 6.
Other questions? Sir Martinez?
So something a lot of the senators that were running for their colleges, they were upheld to goals, or goals that we had to propose. Just wondering if, to be appointed, what are some possible goals that you can possibly propose to the Senate currently, just so we have an idea of what we can also uphold you to, since we're being upheld to current goals in our position. Just an idea.
Sure.
At the same time, ours weren't anything too elaborate, but just to have accountability.
So that's not something that I could really put much thought into at this point. I'd say, honestly, the biggest thing that my goal would be is to make sure that the Senate session is continuing to operate in an effective manner of decorum, that they're effectively accomplishing their projects. My personal goals would be to assist chairs with anything that they would need, to assist senators with understanding, like, what they need to be doing to accomplish things, who they can be talking to. But there's all sorts of different contacts that you can use to try to get that information. So other than trying to work on the actual academic policies of the university, or excuse me, academic advising policies of the university, I didn't have any subset goals.
Other questions? All right. Seeing none, we're going to hear from our next candidate. I ask that you please invite Mr. Hedgepath into the room.
Mine's not going to take about 10 minutes. It's not going to take that long. A little bit about me. My name is Dylan Hedgepeth. I'm from Southern California, down in the Riverside area. Right out of high school, I went to a junior college down there, and then I transferred to a university in South Dakota on a full ride, and then I transferred back to that junior college for a year, and then I finally came out here. From going to those other colleges, I've seen how their student body tries to conduct events around campus and how they try and get their knowledge and experience stuff out to the students. And with all that, I think I'd be a new person with fresh ideas to bring to the ASUN. I've got some leadership roles. I've been the community service chair for my fraternity. I coordinate events and stuff such as park cleanups, food bank. We've gone to bike repair shops, and we have Alumni Connection to help special education kids become more athletically involved and work with hand-eye coordination and the things. With community service, it's a great way to get involved with the community and become more well-known with your organization. I was also captain of the football teams at my high school, my colleges also. So I know how to lead a group to success, and I know how to deal with conflicts of interest and resolve them accordingly to the situations. Why am I running to become this chair? The main reason is because I want to make an impact to the engineering students, and I want to get them more involved on campus for a better college experience. In order to do that, I have my three goals, and my goals are to, one, have a better relationship with students and the professors. I think a great way to do that is have them be, have the professors be more available. In order to do that, I think a good idea to have their office times and their locations online. I don't think online is very up to date with that kind of information. Another goal is to have more community service for the engineering students, and I think a great way for that would be to have GivePulse more known around campus. I did work with GivePulse one time for a community service event, and that is by far one of the most convenient and easiest ways to get community service known around campus. And my third goal would be to have better public participation and knowledge of ASUN and what you guys are doing and how we're getting our goals accomplished. And I think a great way to do that, we have constant website updates. I know for one part of the ASUN website, it's still talking about the 2016 homecoming events, and that was about 8 months ago, so it's heavily out of date. Tabling around campus, I know we do that, but I think we could have some twists with tabling, and some small events to engage students around campus also. I've also talked with the past Senator of Engineering, Trey Taylor, and he's told me a little bit about what the seat is and what they're doing in the College of Engineering. I know there's a lot of money being invested in the College of Engineering, but I don't think the engineering students know this that well. I know they see all the renovation and all the construction going on around campus, but with that, all they see is that renovation and maybe a little sign outside of it. I think we could get the College of Engineering students more involved and more affiliated with their college if we educate them on what we're doing with those renovations, how is that helping their college. If I do get this spot, the committees that I plan to be on are civic engagement and university affairs. Civic engagement, I believe, is participation from individuals in activities around campus and the community designed to better the community and the individuals. Great way for that is outreach to local nonprofits and to provide opportunities for the students to serve their communities. And for university affairs, I believe that the goals of mine coincide with this committee directly because I want to promote the Senate among the students, and I want to have a good communication between the Senate and the university's community. And that is it.
All right, we'll be taking questions for the candidate this time. Are there any questions? Senator Becker?
So my first question is, well, actually, I should say, yeah, bunch of really good ideas, but the only main thing we look for, is like actual like plan and that's it maybe like follow through with.
Mm-hmm.
So you propose that you want to get GivePulse and more advertised throughout your college, correct? And then also you want to advertise the Senate around campus through the University Affairs Committee. But do you have any ideas about how you might go about doing that?
I think a good way would be if we have tabling also would be a good way to get those out there. Like from my previous universities, I've seen that they do tabling all around campus all the time. And one of the great spots that I saw them do tabling is right in front of like the cafeteria. All the freshmen and sophomores, they're going to that constantly. So I mean, if you're tabling right outside of that the entire time, they will eventually come up to you and they'll see what you're talking about, what's going on. So I mean, tabling would be a good way to get it more out there. And I mean, you could go to the to their lectures, and you can give little presentations before class.
Senator, do you have Any other questions? Senator Martinez?
So, something all of these current senators, when running for their colleges during the election, we are all upheld to the goals currently that we propose. I was just wondering, and I don't have to be anything too specific, but if you have any goals that possibly can keep you accountable for if elected or appointed into this position.
Right. I touched on those. My three goals, those were to better the relationship between the students and professors, have their hours and where their locations are online. That was one of the main goals, to have more community service with the engineering students by using good polls, and then have better public participation and knowledge of ASUN, and that was with website updates, tabling, and small events and coordinations.
Other questions? Remember the questions that we were proposing to ask during the period, Senator Kirkendall?
So, for next semester as well as spring 2018, are you able to be at every single Senate meeting, which is at 5:30?
I mean, yeah, I'm free after 3 o'clock every day, so I can easily make those meetings.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Plagueis?
I was wondering if you had any experience with Robert's Rules of Order or with writing any sort of legislation in the past?
I have no experience with that.
It's okay.
Other questions? Yeah. Senator Martinez.
I was just wondering, besides a fresh new mind and like new ideas, as you stated before within your speech, and sorry if you stated more ideas, what else you're able to provide to the 85th session in regards to reaching out to the College of Engineering and possible new ideas along that path, or anything else you may have thought of?
Like new ideas for the College of Engineering, like getting to know ASUN, or?
More like kind of informing the College of informing the College of Engineering students for the University of Nevada, Reno, about this ASUN position, since in the past, just as an idea, in the past, this there's always been a vacant seat for the College of Engineering, so how are you going to be able to advocate for this and inform students, inform constituents on ASUN regarding the College of Engineering?
Good question.
Can you
take that one? I would think a good way to do that would be to have better public relations, because that's one of my points and one of my goals, have better public relations specifically with the College of Engineering, because I know not a lot of engineers are obviously trying to have this position, and I think if we have better relations with them, they would know what this position is about, what it requires, how will you get out of it, all this different information. I think if we have better public relations with my college, it would be a lot more sought after position.
Other questions? Senator Perkins?
So, as someone who's coming from a different university and come to University of Nevada, Reno at the very beginning, having that experience of being someone kind of like transitioning to the university, how do you plan to get other people like yourself who are non traditional students to be more involved on campus? I mean, besides like obviously the public relations, specifically people like yourself that transfer?
Specifically towards transfer students? That's a tough one. I would think we have some kind of way of contacting the transfer students, because I know when I transferred within about 2 or 3 weeks is when I did all my whole process and then transfer here. I just transferred, got into the dorm, and that was about it with contacting the university. After that, I just went to my classes, and that was it. I think something to do would be during the process of them transferring over and after they transfer, is to have some way of keeping in touch with them and letting them know about events or clubs that they can possibly join that would be geared towards them. Because I transferred here in last spring, and after I transferred, I had no more contact with the university. Well, I mean, I did, like, not with clubs or organizations, because, I mean, I transferred, and there wasn't much communication, I guess. So, I mean, some way of keeping in contact with the transfer students and
giving them information on what kinds of clubs and organizations they could join.
Senator
Becker.
So, if I see on your resume that you had previous experience collegially with football, is that correct?
Yeah.
So, given your perspective in like collegiate football, do you have any kind of insight that you can bring from that perspective to this university? Whether like you, I mean, you don't play for a university of Nevada, do you?
No.
Okay, that's totally fine. But like, given your collegiate insight on like athletics, I mean, can you bring any sort of perspective to the Senate table?
Perspective as in how to keep people accountable for what they're doing.
Any kind of perspective.
Any kind of perspective. I'd say. If you give somebody a task, you gotta stay on them, keep in touch with them, make sure that they're meeting the requirements. I mean, instead of just giving somebody a task and then wait until the very end of it when it's due, and then finding out that they did it or didn't do it, I'd say keep in contact the whole time. Build good relations with each other. If something's wrong, say it. Don't let it brew in your mind. Say if you think something's wrong.
Just coming from a different school, do you see any differences from the South Dakota school versus the University of Nevada, Reno that you could possibly implement in this university?
Some differences? I would definitely say better ways of getting our information out there, because I mean, when I was in South Dakota, they tabled every single day. I mean, it wasn't the same people that tabled every day; there was different people, but they tabled very often and in very in spots that people walk through all the time. And out here, I mean, I see people tabling in front of the Joe and in front of Casey often, but it was every single day in a very populated area that people would be tabling for whatever reason. I think if we did something like that, we definitely have more participation from the students in all clubs and organizations.
I'm sorry if you stated this before in your platform, but besides a line of communication between the ASU1 engineering senators and the College of Engineering, mm-hmm. what other problems do you feel as if reside within the College of Engineering, if any, that you could help
right.
as a senator?
I'd say get the resources out there better. Math Center, I know a lot of engineers and they never go to the Math Center even though they're getting bad grades in calculus or physics or what have you. Have the stuff at the De La Mar, have that be more knowledgeable. The laser cutter, the printer, or the 3D printer, all that kind of useful tools and information, not many engineers know about it. And also they can rent technology there, and I rented like the Google Glass and the virtual reality stuff from there to test it out. Really cool technology, but I've seen maybe one or two other people rent it out, and I think if we got that information out there better, that'd be pretty cool for engineering college.
Okay. Alright. Seeing none, we're going to move into our general discussion period, so we ask that if you leave a little bit of time, but you're not required to learn about a full class. Okay? We're now moving into general discussion on the candidate, Senator Buston.
So first I need to acknowledge a conflict of interest. Candidate Kruby is in my fraternity, so I'll be abstaining from the vote. Something interesting that should be reiterated, though, from these two candidates is Kruby was pretty clear about why he didn't bring like goals to be held accountable for. If you vote him into this position, he's basically going to be an advisor. He's not going to come in with fresh ideas and do great new things. So if you see promise in the other candidate, then vote for him because Kruby is going to be present. He's not going to be bringing his full effort into this position.
I thought that Kruby was definitely the strongest candidate. Of course, the other candidate had to cut
He asked him very important questions, and he had difficulty answering them. One of the questions he asked was, what problems do you see in your college? And he had a difficult time answering that. And he's representing the College of Engineering, and if he has difficulty answering that question, then how is he supposed to help his college? And I found it kind of weird how, not weird, but off how quickly he didn't have any set goals, but it's kind of important that like we have those type of people that know like who we can contact and like be an open line of communication, because anyone can have ideas, like we all have ideas, but it's difficult to kind of go about like how to figure out like how to go about them. So I think that he'd be a really good addition to the setting.
All right, I'm writing all of your names down, so if you ever put your hand up, put it really.
Oh, I just wanted to point out that like both candidates, they kind of had like similar ideas, but it was just the way that they presented it. Both of them kind of said that like they wanted to like provide a line of communication for their colleges, but Krusty, I felt like he was more like realistic, and then Hedgepeth, he was more like hopeful, I guess. But yeah, that's just how I interpreted it.
Sarah Flagan.
I think that Kruby had some interesting insight, and that I didn't think that he said he wasn't going to do anything. I think more he said that his position in the Senate would be to like inform our decisions and help us make sure we're following precedent has been set down. And I think that is admirable. And I think one of his specific goals was to work in advising within the College of Engineering. And I think his demeanor and like how he talked about it, I didn't perceive that he wasn't going to try. I perceive that he like had tried in the past and had been difficult in communication. But one of the things we can do is we can ask him to like have a new level of accountability. I thought that what he can provide to this Senate body is like an important like thing, because a lot of us are new. There's only like two returners, and so having someone to like lay the like groundwork for how to write legislation and how to be part of this and like really how to keep Senate accountable is not necessarily a bad thing.
Senator Cook.
I think Senator Bussman pretty much summarized. I think he said it best. If Kruby is appointed, he's just going to be present at these meetings. And I kind of disagree with you on the fact that he didn't recognize any problems in this, like, at all, because I think he recognized a lot of problems that we have at the university, especially like how he said that the ASUM website isn't up to date and stuff like that. And we kind of put him on the spot to come up with some solutions, and he was able to come up with solutions on the spot. As well as I kind of got like a go-getter vibe from him. Like he seems to want to go out of his way to act upon issues at the university, whereas Senator Kruby kind of just wants to advise and kind of make sure that we're doing everything okay.
Senator Becker, you had a point.
I was going to ask, are we able to like not vote a senator today, or do we have to have at least one senator elected today?
We would have to reopen the job application, and that seat would remain vacant for at least 2 more weeks.
Okay,
so
you.
Just consider that too. I had Senator Stalka next.
Okay. So, what I'd like to say first is what I want from the 85th session is for us to be a progressive session. I want us to be able to accomplish things, and it's been said already that Kruby may have been more realistic and seem more hopeful. Personally, I would rather have someone who can dream up big ideas that will improve this university, and a go-getter, if you will, that will pursue these ideas than someone who would essentially sit and just realistically say, there's not much we can do to improve anything.
Sarah, can you
be a lengthy one. Just as a brief disclaimer, seeing as candidate that is from the same organization that I belong to, I will still not be abstaining from the vote because he's not a superior to me, as well as I'm not a superior to him. So I feel like there is no conflict of interest, and I can objectively vote. That being said, my opinion on the two candidates are as such, starting with candidate Kruby.
His idea to essentially operate as an advisor or someone to keep people accountable is essentially the same thing as what the speaker is supposed to be doing. I think that the Senate is not designed to have someone who just sits purely for the purpose of being an advisor as a senator, that we have the speaker for that exact purpose. Also, additionally, if he wishes to sit as someone who is an advisor, as someone who can keep people accountable, the fact that he had a censure for missing meetings and was not able to communicate to the Senate correctly shows that he can't even keep himself accountable. And I think it is kind of great that he does pose the purpose of having solutions for any of our problems. But again, that's something that we can all collaborate on. And I think an effective Senate does not just sit with one individual, but I think that we can all effectively communicate and find solutions together. The one thing that I think the Senate does need, and what I agree with Senator Stopko on, is that we need ideas and goals and visions, which leads me into candidate Hedgepeth. He's someone who's coming from a different university, which is untraditional. We look at Senator Flangus, who obviously proved to be a great candidate, as well as is now a great senator, and that great things can come from people who actually are looking in, or from the outside in, not from the inside out. So I think that having someone like candidate Hedgepeth would be a great asset to the Senate, because, and this is going to address some of the points that he didn't have ideas of what, you know, our problems within the College of Engineering. His three points, which got asked a lot about, are to better relationships with the professors and students because there's a lack thereof. That's one of the issues that he wants to solve. He wants to better have more community service opportunities for engineering students through gift polls that he went and did his homework and research on. It shows that he cares. Honestly speaking, when I applied, I didn't even know about gift polls. So the fact that he looked into it is a great thing. And third, is public knowledge, or increasing public knowledge and participation of ASU within the engineering students also solves another issue of lack of involvement with engineering students. Personally, I mean, I know that it's not exactly data, but I know a lot of engineering students that aren't involved, and the fact that we can get them involved says a whole lot more than just providing a line of communication and just giving up on them that Senator or candidate Kirby would bring to the table.
Senator,
we
have your name right now. I can't remember which one.
Oh, someone else can go first.
Okay.
Just because, like, Kirby is more realistic doesn't mean that he's not going to get anything done. Like he said in his speech, he didn't write legislation for, like, the Veterans Scholarship. There's just, and also, what's it called? He said that he would, like, assist chairs and people in the community, and then sometimes it's up to the committee to finalize goals as a team so we can carry that out together. So I still feel like we would be more productive.
Senator Penning Bretons. Did you have a point?
Yeah,
for Kirby, like, even though he's going to be realistic, he's going to be the guy that's going to deserve, either way, we're going to put bills on him, either through the committee for him or something, so I don't think he's going to actually take that role of advisor. With that, I'd rather have someone who has more experience with the sun. And, you know, talk to them. And, I mean, as a team, we can actually collaborate and think of ideas. We don't need, like, 20 more people with a bunch of ideas because we can bounce off ideas and get all of that too. But for a good guy, I think he has a lot of big ideas, but there's no specifics. The only thing I didn't like was his inexperience and the fact that he didn't really reach out as much as I wanted him to, for the amount of college engineering and researching what are, you know, the actual problems that they would be facing and whatnot.
I had Senator Ma written down.
For Nani Kirby, just the fact that he didn't have any goals and just not having any goals, like concrete goals, and the fact that he essentially said that basically with my experience and what I know, that's how I'll help you guys. I just believe you should have goals and just legislation that will improve the university instead of being an advisor. And also the accountability, the fact that he was missing meetings last session doesn't sit very well either. But with nominee Hedgepeth, even though he had goals, they just weren't very specific, and when he was answering the questions, they just weren't very concrete answers, and also just his inexperience, government, and his resume. I just don't think either candidate is qualified.
Point of clarification to the speaker, to Senator Ma, he was censured in the 83rd session, and in the 84th session he wasn't censured, so it's kind of saying like he saw like the consequences in the 83rd session, but 84th session he was not censured, so it wasn't last session, it was the session before.
Alright, everyone who has their hand out, I have your name written down unless you have more. I have Senator Selvin next.
So despite his lack of experience, I think that NPEP has a lot more ambition and determination. He specifically said how he would like to be involved in Senate by saying what committees he would be on should he be appointed to this position, whereas Kirby just said that he would help other senators and he would be an advisor to the others. I know this has been said, but as far as like the concrete goals and like his involvement in the Senate. And then I have to elaborate on what Senator Kirkendall said and disagree with Senator Plangus with respect to accountability, because he has lied on public record. So that kind of throws that out the window. To elaborate, he said he would resign from his position due to his conflict of class in Senate meeting, and come the end of the session, he had not resigned.
Senator Lee.
He's a transfer student, right? So he has like fresh eyes on the issues of the university. He didn't have a set plan on how to solve them. We all have goals, but sometimes we just don't know how to go about those goals. Like, all of us can have goals, but what matters is accomplishing those goals. And I feel like candidate Kruppi, he would be a great addition to the Senate because will be able to assist those chairs, because he knows who to contact, he knows where to go for those, he knows who to contact, and he knows how to solve those goals. So, yeah.
Let me write some more down. I have a long list. Okay, I think I have everyone with their hand up, but Senator Flynn, yes, I heard you.
So I wanted to note that, like, coming into, like, our original debate, I don't know how prepared each of us were, me included. I had, like, these elusive goals, and it was really interesting. But I think that a lack of experience is not necessarily the worst thing to happen in the Senate body. We are, like, a place where you learn a lot, and I feel like we have learned a lot in, like, I don't know, a month or whatever. So I think that I don't want to say it's like a weakness. Like, I asked him that question about Robert's rules, and I didn't want to be like savage about it. I wanted to just know where he was, and I don't know. I thought I just wanted to see where he was as a person, and I think a lack of experience is not necessarily a good enough reason to just like cut them off. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. Senator Say, I had your
hand. I was just going to say the same thing. I don't think it's fair to say that just because he lacks experience, he shouldn't be able to sit at the table. I think the whole purpose of one of the bigger reasons for being in Senate is to learn more about government and more about how we can run as a student body to govern the way the university runs. And I think in terms of potential, I feel like, yes, Kruppi does have a lot of experience and he has a lot of knowledge, but I feel like he is past the point of where he's trying to improve and trying to improve the university, I suppose. He did mention that he was mostly going to sit in more of an advisory role and in helping us. And yes, I think it's important to have all these advisors and information on who to contact and all those things. But I feel like we have a lot of resources already. And I don't think taking up another seat in the Senate just for that role is
would
be beneficial for us.
Senator Ball. Okay. So, just a few points. One of the points that I was off, many engineering lecturers literally give you their Google calendar and
to like fill up time slotting and clear your personal calendar. So oftentimes it's definitely not a major thing in the college experience, because a lot of the professors have a lot of time. And another thing to go off of that is Ruby said it very well, where the college engineering is very independent. Besides the math classes, we have our own engineering tutoring center. We have the bottom of the LMR where we have our own electronics and stuff. We don't go to other departments such as the bottom of the KC to rent things. Everything is done through our own college. So that's why a lot of students don't go outside the college engineering, because everything is given to you. And the one I said there. And bringing up the 83rd century, that was like 2 years ago. So I don't think it's quite possible to even talk about that right now, because he served as a parliamentarian for the last session. So he's there. And the college, keep in mind, college of engineering is very academically focused. So they don't, if average student does not want to go out and do community service, you're not going to be able to move. So go ahead.
Senator Cook. Senator Cook,
did you have anything? I said that.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
Senator Becker, I have you next.
Okay, so I had two very quick questions. Two, there's this speaker. Wait, I was going to ask, so about the 84th session and Kruby's like coming back and he became a parliamentarian, would you say that his accountability has improved to the point where you think he would be accountable in the 85th Senate?
In my role as a speaker, I don't think it's appropriate for me to answer that question, but if you would like to direct that question to, say, Chief of Staff Bradley, who is also a senator in that session, maybe she would feel comfortable asking that, but if you would like to ask through the speaker to Senator Bradley, if you're comfortable with that, of course.
I personally wouldn't want to like be involved in her discussion on this role. I'm really loving the dialect, though.
So, other than that point, so there's just one point would be that we talked, I believe Senator Plangus and Senator Panabon said that you can't count them out because they're not separate as Panabon. Senators say you can't count them out because they don't have experience. But I think that something that like we should all take into perspective when we're like choosing senators and we all value ourselves is the experiences that we bring to the table. I mean, I can say for a fact the one experience that like Hedgebeth has is that he's a new student. And I mean, other than that, I'll see what kind of other experience and insight he can bring to the table. Not groupie. He does have years of experience and like knows has to know how it is when he definitely brings some insight to our Senate. But that's just something to consider where your experience lies.
So, just kind of consolidating this conversation. So, a lot that has been said about Kruby is that he'd be a great advisor, and I don't doubt that. I think that he would be a great resource to use. But as per the statutes of the Associated Students, your duties don't just stop at advising. They continue with other things, such as passing legislation and doing other great things for the university, and not just taking a backseat role. I think that if we show these engineering students that one of their senators is somebody who doesn't actively want to help them, regardless of, you know, pushback that there is based on their independence, I think that's setting a really horrible precedent for the Senate and in regards to the College of Engineering, by showing the College of Engineering students that we've given up on them, that we can't bring them fresh and new ideas. Just because we haven't found ways to get them involved yet doesn't mean we can't in the future. And if we haven't yet, I mean, we should probably look at the past experience of those senators, one of which being Senator Kruby, and why he couldn't bring any enthusiasm to the Senate or to ASU and from engineering students. As for Hedgepet, I'd like to clarify something. I think a lot of us have lost a lot of focus of where we were a couple months ago. Myself included, I had very large goals and ideas, and I'm starting to realize that not all of them are completely possible, and I think that's kind of where candidate Hedgepeth is at. You know, he has these ideas so vague, he has them, you know. And I think that with the experience that you learn in ASU, and we've already seen how much we've learned over the couple of weeks that we've been in, that we can reshape our ideas and our platform to be more attainable. So I think the argument of practicality of his ideas and goals and whatnot
shouldn't be the determining factor between the two candidates because none of us had specific plans and outlines of how to accomplish things. I would honestly ask any senator here to specify that they, you know, had said verbatim exactly what they're going to do during whether it be the debate or during one of their speeches to an organization and actually follow through with it, because they do change over time based on what you learn of what you're capable of in Senate.
Chair Martinez, I have you next.
I think one important thing to point out, and kind of playing devil's advocate here, is in Krupe's speech, he talked about how we have, in this instance, a way to handpick someone who can balance the weaknesses we currently have within the 85th session. And kind of going off of Hedgepeth's goals, we already had it addressed by Senator Maul, and how some of his goals already cannot be implemented, and how, in being beneficial, it's truly not beneficial. And although we are being given goals, again, looking at balancing our weaknesses, and some of you say Krupe is only going to be an advisor here, but referring back to Senator Kirkendall and talking about how we have a task in which we have to follow rules as senators, he will also be held to the same standards that we currently are being held to. So just keep that in mind in regards to, we already have a current senator of engineering who kind of debunked the goals that were currently presented to us by nominee Hedgepeth. And in addition to that, although someone wasn't enthusiastic when proposing their ideas and goals, that doesn't mean they aren't capable of ideas and goals and being enthusiastic. It's a type of introvert, extrovert kind of way in which they present their goals and ideas, just to keep that in mind as well.
Thank you, Chair Shaka.
I'd like to bring this up. I'd like to remind the Senate that two of the biggest responsibilities of HON are student retention and grades, correct?
Graduation rates.
Anyways, student retention and graduation rates. Now, personally, we have a candidate, Krupe, who said himself he wants to serve more as a line of communication between law and engineering. We talked about the various ideas that they have, possible lack of ideas Krupe has, and possible ideas that Hedgepeth has that may not be able to get implemented. But I would just like to put this out there. Which candidate do you think could improve student retention and improve grades? Because personally, I think the candidate that has ideas, though vague, though they may not be possible, versus the candidate who just wants to be a line of communication, may improve this.
Senator Kirkendall?
This kind of builds off of that, what Senator Stopka just said. As far as somebody who's going to bring information to the table and not bring information, let me back up. As someone who's going to do their duties as a senator, one thing that I want us all to remember is that candidate Krupe actively opposed legislation, saying that it's not the most effective form of being a representative, which to some degree may have some substance, but I think the fact that he has this kind of negative attitude and pessimism towards the duties of being a senator, like having no goals, just wanting to put solutions out and not ideas, I think that that's honestly irresponsible of somebody who's trying to have a seat at the table to represent an entire college, someone who should be looking out for the ideas of other engineering students. If we have somebody that squats down ideas, there might be another engineering student that isn't within ASU and that might have something they could bring to the table, but because candidate Krupe becomes senator, that might not become a reality. That's something to think about.
Senator Levy?
Kind of echoing what Senator Moss said, Krupe has experience, but the lack of goals is like kind of a negative sort of image for us. We won't really accomplish anything. And as the role of advisor, we also have like Dr. B to that, who has a plethora of experience. And then going over to candidate Hedgepeth, he's got general goals, but like no real depth at all. Like we ask him simple questions and he has trouble answering those. So I personally believe that they're both unqualified. We should wait for someone better.
Senator Lee.
Okay, so I just wanted to point out like the main goals of a senator is to represent their college and ASU as a collective. So Krupe is already knowledgeable from his past like legislative experience, and Hedgepeth, I just wanted to point out that he didn't do his research on his college,
and how they have their own math center, they have their own tutoring center, which like they don't really need like the math center. And then also, like we have all these goals and none of them can be accomplished without proper resources. So could we be more like realistic in finding the solution? Not that he doesn't want to write legislation, but he just wants to find a solution to actually like actively make it work. And then like, there's nothing wrong with being an advisor. His goals, like as a senator, he's going to have goals and we're going to hold him accountable for that. And it could be the goals of the community he's in or like the goals that he's helping other people with. There's nothing wrong with that.
Other points of discussion? Sir Martinez.
I would like to echo kind of what Senator Cynthia Lee just stated by talking about how there's nothing wrong with gaining help. Kind of like egos aside and like we've already established this is what we've come to grow and this is what we've come to know already as senators and we're still learning and other people can be appointed and learn, but I would just also like to restate how we have the opportunity to add someone to the 85th session who can truly benefit us and really balance out the weaknesses that we currently have. As we've seen throughout our time here, we have so many bright and brilliant ideas, and we can't ignore that it would also be really beneficial to add someone to this session who can help us format and go and find out who to talk to in implementing these ideas and goals. And kind of just going back to what Senator Maul had said before, on ideas established and saying it in a nicer way of how the College of Engineering is already pretty independent, although it doesn't want to be stated. We said it very nicely and kindly, and again, this is kind of introvert and extrovert kind of way in which Krupe stated it, and maybe not the nicest way, but it was stated in that he knows his college, he knows what to aim for, and he knows what can be accomplished within the College of Engineering.
Sir, say.
I correct me if I'm wrong, but I got the impression that he was like candidate. I didn't get the feel that he didn't know about his college. I got the feel that one of his goals was to increase awareness of like the resources that are available to students. So I feel like that's not really related to the issue, because he did seem like he had a very good knowledge of all the resources that college engineering had. He mentioned all about the tutoring center, and he also mentioned the resources in the AMR. So I don't think that his goal, I don't think his platform is wrong in a way. I don't think that you can say that it was involved in that one statement. So.
Any other points of discussion? Martinez.
Just as a point of clarification, I believe, Senator Maul, you said that you guys have your own personal math tutors, correct, for the College of Engineering?
Engineering tutoring. A lot of the focus is in math. They've already been through, so it's more practical, rather than just here's the book, here's the solution, let's
set it up
here.
Senator
Kirkendall. Through the speaker to both Senator Say and Senator Maul, my question to you is, in being a senator for the College of Engineering, do you two feel that the College of Engineering doesn't need someone who has ideas and that the College of Engineering should be left separate from the associated students?
Senator Maul, if you both, either of you feel comfortable answering that, it's not something.
It's a very interesting question because, again, it's very academically focused. Our college is strictly academically focused. Where if you can't get an internship, you're not going to get a job right out of college. So it is great overall, but there needs to be something else that drives engineering to come to ASU. And a lot of it is clubs and orgs and different organizations that are affiliated with the ACUN, and that's how a lot of engineering is connected.
Senator Say, did you have anything to add? No, it's okay.
I guess I'm going to ask that question. I don't think that the College of Engineering should be separate from the associate students. I think that, yes, it's very independent and that they don't need a lot of change. I feel like the presence that they that we have in the Senate for the, representing the College of Engineering is very helpful in progressing their current goals or their current direction that they have, Kenneth Kirby was mentioning. I think that it's important to have senators in the represent them in that way and just have that like form of communication. But I also think that having new ideas isn't a bad thing, and like having like big ideas to change the college is a bad thing.
Any other points of discussion? All right, seeing none, we're going to move into a roll call vote for selecting a candidate. When your name is called, please designate the nominee of your choice by last name, either Krupe or Hispeth.
Senator Becker.
Hispeth.
Senator Billman.
Senator Billman's not here today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries.
Senator Bestman.
Abstain.
Senator Kamie Lee.
Krupe.
Senator Cook.
Hispeth.
Senator Cynthia Lee.
Krupe.
Senator Flangus.
Hispeth.
Senator Kirkendall.
Hispeth.
Senator Lippe.
Krupe.
Senator Ma.
Hispeth.
Senator Mall.
Neither.
For this one, you do have to select a candidate, but we will move on to a vote on to approving that person, and you can vote no on that person.
Krupe.
Senator Martinez?
Krupe.
Senator Panningban?
Krupe.
Senator Say? Senator Stapka? Senator Sullivan? Senator Toole.
Krupe.
Nominee Hispeth has received the majority vote. We will now vote on approving the nomination of Dylan Hispeth to the office of the Senator for the College of Engineering. So I'm seeking a motion to approve the nomination. Senator Cook?
I move to approve the nomination of Dylan Hispeth to the position of Senator.
Is there a second? Oh, sorry. Is there a second? Senator Sullivan?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote. Senator Bestman?
I think that with an entire college, that there's better applicants out there. So, personally, I don't think that either of these applicants are worthy today. I think that we should reopen the pool and look for other applicants.
Any other discussion? Senator Cook?
My only thing with that is, I mean, two people applied this time. Who's to say that, or three, who's to say that more are going to apply next time?
Senator Sullivan?
Through the speaker to Senator Bestman, and elaborating on Senator Cook, there was a whole election process. Applications were open for a considerably long period of time. So I don't think that reopening this position would be productive.
Senator
Lee? I just want to point out, if Krupe, through the speaker to the whole Senate, if Krupe would have stated his platforms, or if he would have stated his speech in a different light, if he was more positive, then would you guys think that? Would you feel differently?
Is there any discussion on approving the nominee that we chose? Senator Ma?
Through the speaker to Senator Lee, regardless of how he worded his speech, he had no goals, vision, or platform, and that's what we're really looking for here.
I don't want to stop this conversation, but I would like to note that we are speaking about the approval of the nominee that we have chose, so talking about anything outside of that is not germane to what we're doing right now. So is there any discussion on approving the nomination of Dylan Hispeth to the Senator for the College of Engineering? All right, seeing none, we're going to move into a roll call vote of approving the candidate. In this instance, you would say aye, nay, oy.
Senator Becker?
Nay.
Senator Bestman?
Nay.
Senator Kami Lee?
Nay.
Senator Cook?
Aye.
Senator Cynthia Lee?
Nay.
Senator Flangus?
Aye.
Senator Kirkendall?
Aye.
Senator Lippe?
Nay.
Senator Ma?
Nay.
Senator Mall?
Nay.
Senator Martinez?
So, aye.
Senator Panningbun?
Nay.
Senator Say?
Aye.
Senator Stopka?
Aye.
Senator Sullivan?
Aye.
Senator Toole?
Nay.
Motion fails. 7-9.
I'm sorry. One moment, everyone. I would like to seek a motion to for 10 minutes. So if there's anyone that would like to make that motion, we would return to this meeting at 7:42. I would like to note too, because we are in discussion and we just voted on this and everything, if possible, you could remain in this room and also not discuss any of the action items, just because it is time like in the middle of voting. Senator Kudal?
I motion to recess Senate at 7:43.
Is there a second? Senator Flangus?
I second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll move it. Oh, Senator Cook?
Can we use the restroom?
You may, but I please ask that you do not speak to any of the candidates or speak to any other senators regarding any of the things that we're talking about. All right. Is there any other discussion? Seeing no one moving to the vote, all those in favor, please just give a saying aye.
Aye.
Abstentions? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We will recess at 7:43. I call this meeting of the 8th session of the Center of Associated Students back to order on Wednesday, May 17th, 2017 at 7:43 p.m. in the Reed Related Senate Chambers on the third floor of the Joe Crowley Student Union. But going back into our conversation, I just want to address the body real quick and say that I really do appreciate your discourse and the really high standard that you hold this body to. But at the same time, remember that not approving this nominee leaves this college without adequate representation for at least another 2 to 3 weeks. And then also remember that this is their first interview process. Like Dr. Beatty mentioned, it's not like one of President Texera's nominees, how they've already been through that application process and have been kind of, let know what kind of things are expected out of them. And then remember in the future, keep in mind how much experience you had when you applied for this position. I want you to read the goals and the platform that you originally put up into the website and kind of reflect on that. And, remember that we're holding those people to a high standard, but at the same time not to be unreasonable about that. So, next meeting. We're going to be seeing candidates for the College of Journalism, so I just want you guys to keep some of those things in mind while we're doing that. But for these candidates, we're going to reopen the application. They're, more than welcome to apply again for the same position if they would like to, but we're going to invite them back in.
Hannah, you do roll call to reestablish quorum.
Oh, I'm sorry. moving back into Agenda Item 2, roll call.
Speaker Jackson?
Agenda Item 3, I'm sorry, not Item 2. Present.
Senator Becker?
Present.
Senator Bellman?
Sorry, he's out of excuse.
Senator Bestman?
Present.
Senator Kami Lee?
Present.
Senator Cook?
Present.
Senator Cynthia Lee?
Present.
Senator Flangus?
Present.
Senator Kirkendall?
Present.
Senator Lippe?
Present.
Senator Ma?
Present.
Senator Mall?
Present.
Senator Martinez?
Present.
Senator Panningbun?
Present.
Senator Sarwar?
Sorry, absent excuse.
Senator Fay?
Present.
Senator Smith?
Absent excuse.
Senator Slapka?
Present.
Senator Sullivan?
Present.
Senator Thummel?
Absent excuse.
Senator Toole?
Still present.
Clem's present.
Okay, well, we'll neither candidate for the College of Engineering has received a majority vote, so we will be reopening the application. So both of you are encouraged to reapply if you would like to. But thank you for your time.
Cool.
All right. We'll move into item B, the nomination of Austin Lentz to the Office of Assistant Director of Event Programming, Marketing, and Insurance. I'm seeking a motion to approve the nomination. Sarah Plankett.
I move to approve the nomination of Austin Lennox to the Office of Assistant Director of Event Programming, Marketing, and Insurance.
Is there a second? Senator Martinez?
Second.
Great. All right. I would like to invite Director Cannell as well as Candidate Lynch to come up here. And Director Cannell, if you would like to present your nomination.
Yeah. Okay. So my first nomination tonight is Mr. Austin. He's up for the position of Assistant Director of Marketing and Insurance. I have very high expectations for this position, and let me tell you, Austin surpassed every single one of them, and that's exactly what I'm looking for, because in my absence, Austin will be acting as the acting director. He's going to be my right-hand man throughout the entire year, while also planning and executing the curriculum of the internship program and acting as the liaison between Inkblot and marketing. For his interview process, I asked that Austin bring in a marketing plan for the academic year 2017 through 2018, a training program for the programming intern, and an interview outline for intern candidates. He will present that all to you tonight. Overall, I'm very confident in Austin's abilities to thrive in this position, and I encourage you to challenge him in asking questions.
Candidate Lynch, you will have 10 minutes to present to the body, as well as a 10-minute question and answer period. And whenever you're ready, you can begin.
Awesome. Well, hello, Senators. Thank you so much for having me this evening. I'm really excited to be in front of all of you. Like Director Cannell just said, my name is Austin Lynch, and I was nominated for the position of Assistant Director for Marketing and Interns. So for quite some time now, I've been kind of obsessed and passionate about two things that I find very important for this position, and that's education as well as event programming. When it comes to education, I've wanted to be a teacher since I was small kid. I can't remember wanting to do anything else, and I really give credit to all of the amazing teachers and mentors I've had throughout my time, not only going through school, but also throughout the different clubs and organizations I've been involved with. I've been inspired by the two directors I sat under while involved with this department, the assistant director who looked over me when I was an intern, as well as my mentor who showed me the ropes of this department. I'm now going into my third year at the university, majoring in secondary education. Now, I've been involved with programming and event planning since I was in seventh grade, so for quite some time now. Obviously, didn't do that much in middle school, but I moved on into high school, served as student body president my senior year, and planned many different types of events. And I knew that I wanted to get involved here at the university, but didn't really know how since I'm from the Reno area and was going to live at home my first year. I attended orientation on July 1st, so almost 2 years, and was obsessed with, came to this session about getting involved and was obsessed with the Department of Programming, went home, applied for the internship program, and got it for my first year here at the university. During my first year as an intern, I learned basically the tricks of what it takes to be a great programmer, as well as how to be a service leader in ASUN. My second year, I served as an event programmer for this past board. And as an event programmer, I really was able to learn about my strengths and how to apply those in any given situation, as well as my weaknesses and how I can fix those. As an event programmer, I plan different events such as our Woman Down Pancake Feed, Family Weekend, before I graduate. So I have knowledge on big scale events as well as small scale events that I can pass on to the interns. I believe that the two passions of mine will allow me to be a great fit for this position. Now, this position that I'm going for is split up into two different spots. So you have marketing and interns. So I'll first go over marketing and then move into interns. So my first goal for marketing is to create strict deadlines for event programmers to turn in event details and hold them accountable. Now, my goal would be to get the largest bundle that Inkblot provides for us, and to do so, I need to submit all event details 7 weeks prior to the event. So I will expect that event programmers will turn in event details to me 8 weeks prior. This will give me about a week to make sure that I have everything and reach out to programmers if I'm missing anything. In my portfolio, I did include dates for the fall semester on when I already would expect event details, so I've already been planning that, as well as work with the director to ensure that accountability is stressed, and she really stressed that in front of all of you when she was up for her position, so either creating a strike system with her or just making sure that our programmers are held accountable. My second goal is to create an environment where event marketing is an important aspect of this department. So I would like to reach out and invite the director of Inkblot to come speak at one of our meetings. I'm invite account coordinators from Inkblot that we're working with to come to our meetings, so that way we can just kind of bond together and make sure that we have a great relationship. I would also like to involve programmers in the marketing process. So I was fortunate enough this past year to work with an account coordinator through Inkblot for Family Weekend, and that really connected me more to my event and got me more inspired and more connected to the department. My third goal is to create and maintain a relationship with the director of Inkblot that allows for collaboration, communication, and accountability. I would like to have bi-weekly meetings with either the director of Inkblot herself or an account coordinator, just to make sure that they're holding us accountable for what they need and we're holding them accountable. I would also like to show our appreciation. They do a lot for us and they help us get a lot of students out, so writing thank you notes after our big events just to show that we're thankful for all that they do. Then my last goal for marketing would be to establish new marketing techniques for our events that will reach our diverse student population. So I would like to look online to see what other schools are doing and implement their ideas into our campus, look at the survey results on how marketing tools are most useful, as well as meet one-on-one with groups that we're co-sponsoring events on to ensure that we market for the specific target audience that we're going for. And I also listed a few different unique ideas that I came up with in my portfolio. If you guys have any questions about that at the end, I'd love to take them. When it comes to the internship, my first goal is to hold the interns accountable and create a learning atmosphere where each individual is aware of our expectations. So I would like to create a contract that basically lays out step by step what they need to do and the expectations that the director, other assistant director, and myself have for them. I would also like to enforce a strike system. This would be a three-strike system. So strike number one, if they break anything from the contract, would be a verbal warning. Strike number two would be like a written form that would give to the director. And strike three would be removal from the program, just to ensure accountability, making sure that those who really are passionate about this department stay within the internship program. And obviously, I would treat every intern with the same respect and make sure that everyone feels like they are an equal member on the team. My second goal for the internship program is to educate the interns on all necessary information for becoming an event programmer. So I will do this by having weekly meetings. In my portfolio is a syllabus that I created that has items from the staff that I am supposed to implement within the program. And I would also like to create intern binders that interns will have at each meeting, and I can create like worksheets or helpful sheets that will help them in the future as they plan events. My third goal is to increase the retention rate of the program, and I would like to do this by just showing our appreciation to interns. As an intern myself, I realize that it's a hard job. You're there for long hours, you're doing a lot of work, and you obviously don't get paid. So I would like to show our appreciation in other ways. So I would like to have Intern of the Month, where we display pictures of them and why they got Intern of the Month on our programming window, as well as give them like little gifts of appreciation. So like thank you notes during Thanksgiving or like candy during Halloween. Like something just like make them feel more part of the team. I'd also like to have one-on-ones halfway through each semester to see how I can better implement the program to affect the interns, as well as pass out a survey to both programmers and interns at the end of semester one to cater semester two to help fix whatever problems are going on. And then I would like to create a survey, a general survey that I would give to interns of this previous year, as well as interns for this next session to see what implementations worked and what didn't, so that way we can continue to improve this program. My last goal for the internship program is to collaborate with other ASUN officials to promote a positive culture throughout all ASUN internships. So I would like to work with Chief of Staff Bradley, as well as Speaker Pro Tempore Martinez, and any other officials that look over interns, to make sure that we're providing quality experiences for our interns, as well as plan socials for all ASU and interns to get to know each other, learn about other departments, and kind of get acquainted with people that they're going to be working with in the future. So again, in my portfolio, I include information about the syllabus, the mentorship program, and the hiring process if any of you have questions about those. But I believe that my experience, knowledge of the position, and passion for the department will allow me to be a great assistant director. Thank you.
Questions for the nominees? I know it's late, and I know that we've already been through a lot, but it's still really important that we thoroughly vet these nominations, so I would enjoy some questions that are playing.
I know that you said you wanted to create and maintain a relationship with the director of Blythe and have some ideas of accountability. I was wondering if you did meet with Coordinator Blythe on like what you would, how that would work, and like what specific accountability features would work within your two positions.
Yeah, I haven't met with Blythe yet. I do have a meeting set up next week with the director of Inkblot herself, Eileen. I wanted to wait until I got this position so that way I wasn't stepping on anyone's toes in case anyone else was nominated for the position. But I do plan on meeting with her next week if approved by all of you.
Sorry,
and then just to follow up, so then accountability, is that just ensuring that you get it in on that 8 week or that 7 week mark before? And then she also, like, how would accountability just work?
So a lot of times, when working with Inkblot, obviously they need all of our information, but we also need to ensure that we get shirt designs or proofs of our posters or Facebook pages made or videos in a timely manner to be able to market for our events. So in those meetings, they would keep us accountable by making sure we provide them with everything, but we would also hold them accountable to make sure that we get everything that we are promised to get in a timely manner.
Other points of discussion? Questions. That's what I meant. All right. Well, if there's no further questions, we ask that you do leave the room every time, but you're not required. We will turn that up. Discussion on the nominee. Sarah Martinez.
I would first like the record to show that I'll be abstaining from the vote since the current nominee is my big, so therefore having power. In a sense, but from a constituent perspective, I believe the nominee is very qualified. He has a very well thought out program, not only for the marketing perspective, but as well for the interns. His ideas for the interns are not only involving himself, but all the other colleges, so I think he's very qualified.
Rebecca.
So I wrote down like three questions and he basically answered all of them with a very speech, so that shows that he's like incredibly thorough. And personally, like, I just know like his name from like around campus, and like he doesn't know he knows my name, but I just know him because he's like the most enthusiastic kid I've ever seen. And I say that like in a good way though. Because like that's something you need in like programming, and like I mean enthusiasm definitely spreads, and if you need anyone to spread some enthusiasm, I think you got your guy.
Points of discussion, anyone else?
Just like to further that point, he's like kind of like presenting the face of programming to like our entire student body. So like if there was ever a like more enthusiastic and like person that you could like talk to about programming, I would believe it's this candidate. And like he has such tangible and like well thought out plans. I like came up with my question just to come up with a question. I wanted to put that out there. It wasn't until like meeting again. I just wanted to come up with a question, and he already had an answer and a plan of attack. So if that doesn't describe his like initiative, that makes sense.
Senator Wilkie, did you have something?
Oh,
okay. Sarah
Bussman? So my questions are usually about accountability, but really any question you could have about his accountability, he just built into his platform, so he's a great candidate.
Senator Lee, did you have something?
Oh, no.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of approving the nomination of Austin Lentz to the Office of Assistant Director of Event Programming, Marketing, and Interns, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Oi.
All right, he's our new assistant director. If I could have his oath of office.
I, Austin Lynn.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
Congratulations. We'll now move into our next nomination. I'm seeking a motion to approve the nomination of Kyle Fang to the Office of Assistant Director of Event Programming, Budget, and Finance. Senator Martinez.
I move to approve the nomination of Kyle Fang to the Office of Assistant Director of Event Programming, Budget, and Finance.
Thank you. And I would like to remind the body again to refer to those supplemental documents that were sent to you. Is there a second? Sarah Tool.
A second.
Thank you. All right. Well, now I would like to invite our nominee up, as well as Director Cannell, to present her nominee. So today I'm nominating Kyle Fang for Assistant Director of Budget and Finance. We wrote a little assistant to get asked to why. The position of Budget and Finance presented an extremely competitive applicant pool. My decision to nominate Kyle Fang was not an easy one, but I chose Kyle Fang because I believe he's the strongest applicant. When I was appointed to the position of Director of Programming, I took upon myself to keep the programming department's best interest in mind. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do by nominating an individual that is well-versed not only in the budget of programming, but also the budget of this association. I'm aware that the position of Assistant Director of Budget and Finance requires a lot of attention and accuracy, and that is exactly why I chose to nominate Kyle. Although Kyle has no previous ASUN programming experience, the duties of the budget and finance position in the staff are outlined as, quote, responsible for the administrative duties, including accounting matters that pertain to the ASUN event programming budget and filing out proper paperwork. Meaning programmers will be expected to come to me with all planning questions as outlined by my job duties. My decision to go forward with one applicant and not the other came down to the reading of the SAS and remaining true to the duties outlined by the association. I've been a member of this department through four positions now, and I don't feel that experience in this position of budget and finance requires experience within the department. I feel strongly that after Kyle's presentation, you will understand why I chose to go with the individual that will meticulously maintain my budget and work in line with the goals of my accountability. And for Kyle, what I asked him to present to me in his interview was a budget breakdown for the programming term of 2017 to 2018, a plan to regulate and maintain the budget, and also an outline plan as to how he'll keep all programmers accountable. Thank you. To our nominee, you will have 10 minutes to present to the body, as well as a 10-minute question and answer period. So whenever you're ready, come in.
Good evening, Senators. Thanks for having me tonight. My name is Kyle Fang. You probably heard my name a couple times already tonight. So I'll be a junior in the fall, double majoring in accounting and math. Last year, I was fortunate enough to be a senator for the College of Science, where I was also chosen as the chair of the Committee on Budget and Finance. During my term, I gained a passion for civic engagement, and I also got in-depth knowledge of ASUN's budget and expenditures through performing financial reviews of all the associations' departments. To address my lack of program experience, I was the president of my residence hall my freshman year, and during my time, I hosted a multitude of programs that spanned across topics such as academics, community service, and also cultural diversity. I also currently serve as vice president and new member educator of my fraternity, and in that position, I have planned 2 8-week new member programs. So some big goals I have for if I were to be appointed as assistant director of programming. My first one is to regulate the budget with more oversight by acting as an additional level of clearance before funds can be spent. I know this is super tedious because all the programmers already have to go through supplementation, but I believe it's a necessary evil in order to ensure our budget's being spent with integrity. My second goal is to start to implement a system of differential analysis to compare costs between alternatives before funds are requested by programmers. I have a small template of that in my section regarding budget regulation and maintenance. You can find that in the second paragraph. And also, another goal that I have is to continue to implement the inventory tracker that Assistant Director Laird started last year. I think it's an invaluable resource because if you guys have seen the Department of Programming closet, there's a bunch of stuff in there, and it would be silly for us to use funds to buy stuff that we already have. In regards to accountability, I think for my position, the most important part is making sure that the programmers are being fiscally responsible. So in the event that a programmer does go over budget for what they requested, I have outlined a list of questions that either I or Director Kassam will ask them to see why that is, and if deemed that their expenditures were unreasonable, then we'll implement the strike system that Assistant Director also mentioned during his speech. So if you guys have any questions regarding my portfolio, I know there is a big Excel sheet for both the BLF breakdown and also the department's budget as a whole, and also if you guys have any questions about what Ms. Gamberg said about my qualifications, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions for the nominee? Again, it's really important that we thoroughly vet these people. I know it's late. I know we both gave thorough presentations, but Senator Rosenthal?
If appointed to your role, what do you think that you could bring new to the table that is different from what other past people in your proposed position have come up with?
Right. So I think because I lack the A-State Department program experience, I can see the budget in a new way. Last year during budget and finance, I saw where there were some events where they spent way more than they were supposed to. There were events that cost $13 to $15 per student, and I think that's really unacceptable. Being new to this, I can try going through new vendors or in new places to purchase things because the department is so used to going through the same people for their expenditures, then they've kind of fallen into the same rhythm. And whereas if I come into this role, then I can kind of introduce new ways to host events and new ways we can spend our budget.
Sarah Martinez.
Going off of your BLF analysis for 2017 and 2018, if you can just give like a little bit of a breakdown of what you kind of did here. I mean, I know I see the notes and everything, but if you could just kind of like detail what made you choose to break this down, what to take out, why you chose a certain part of the budget to adjust.
Sure. So this year for BLF, we're allocated the same amount of money as we were last year. Last year we saw a pretty large net loss, so my main goal for next year's BLF breakdown was to lower that net loss as much as possible. One of the first things I did was raise the price of the ticket sales. I know that sounds bad, but the reason behind that is that we're also putting more money into talent and bands, and so the idea behind that is that with higher quality talent, we can attract students to pay the higher price. And also, I was thinking, if you guys have bought festival tickets, they sell them in kind of three time slots. They have early bird tickets, advanced, and general, all priced at different prices. So that $29 per ticket is kind of like an approximation after putting that into account. Something else that changed was for food trucks revenue. Last year, we got money from the food trucks for hosting a BLF, but I think that if we charge a percentage of their sales instead, it could help us get more revenue from them at our event. I mentioned that I added more money into hiring talent bands. For the price changes, for the Ferris wheel and photo booth, those are numbers that I found from different vendors, which were lower than what was spent last year. I also kept the zip line as an entertainment item for next year because I saw that quite a bit of students were utilizing that last year. Next change is university police. I'm considering possibly asking student cadets to help volunteer at next year's event. This will help decrease the cost in that aspect. I also lowered the cost of the security because, as I mentioned, with more student cadets volunteering, they will have more hands on deck to ensure that our students are safe at the event. So we'll be able to hire less security. Fencing and barricade, I dropped that price down just a little bit because I was thinking maybe for next year for you to have it, we could create a more open environment so that way we'd spend less money on fencing and barricades. Generators. What I was thinking was that since we do plan to host BLF each year, we should purchase generators for H2N because it's a capital item. It's a capital item. And this is something that we can use for up to 10 years if it's maintained properly. So I think that as an organization, we should consider purchasing those items for our benefit. Wristbands. fans, the price of those decreased compared to last year because I found a vendor of mine that would be selling those at a cheaper price. For hats, last year that line said hats and bags. I didn't see as many students using bags as we thought they would, so I completely took that out, and I felt that we should just be passing out hats for next year. And then also, the meals for bands. Last year, YG was a little unreasonable on his meal requests, so I anticipate next year's challenge to be using less money for their meals during the
gala. Thank you. Senator Becker, I had you written down if you have another
question. Okay, yeah, it's very brief. So, if you look at like various monetary positions that you could have had to do with like budget and finance within ASUN, why would you pick the programming department?
As I mentioned before, last year, having been the chair of budget and finance, I got to see all the budget and expenditures of all the departments. I felt that the Department of Programming did a fantastic job last year, but I think their biggest flaw was that there were events where they could have saved money and they didn't. And I also spoke to Assistant Director Laird, who was in a position for me. He said his biggest problem was that he fell off when he... So programming, there's a big Excel workbook where you track every expenditure line by line for each event. And his biggest flaw was that he fell off during the second semester and he totally just stopped using that. So the department didn't have the best idea of how much money was in their account. He knew that they'd be under budget all year, but they didn't have an exact number. And I think that being the meticulous and analytical person I am, that I can help the department programming that I expect.
Senator Flagus?
So just touching on your financial budget that you laid out here, could you just discuss like the motivation for creating that, and like would that be something that you'd be teaching the programmers how to use personally?
Yeah, so the motivation behind this is it's basically something that we do in accounting. For a business, you're putting two costs next to each other, you're seeing which one would be most beneficial for the business. This is basically a template that I would be giving the interns and the programmers to utilize. Essentially, what they do is there's the quantitative side, so they list out all relevant costs side by side, and then the last column you see what the difference is between those. And at the bottom, depending on whether the number is negative or positive, it tells you which option is cheaper in a monetary sense. And then I also kind of have a row for qualitative benefits because money is not always the best measure of, you know, benefits.
I just want to say that like your BLF breakdown is really thorough, and I like how you put like little notes next to each of the funds. But I just want like for transparency issues. Like from the public comment from before, she said that you couldn't like estimate the correct funds to report back to interns or something like that. But I just want to hear like your side of the story to that.
I'm not sure what you mean by that. Speaker Jackson, if you don't mind, can we refer to public comment?
I didn't really.
If you want to clarify your question, but
I didn't like really catch much of it in public comment. But it's just something about like how you couldn't like estimate the correct funds or something. That's just what I heard.
I could address public comment for clarification on that. Yes, you can speak to us. Just to clarify her question.
Okay, so what I meant by that is because not having experience in the programming department, they're used to handling like all lots of different events with security and Joe staff and things like that, so they would be able to pull those estimates off the top of their head because they had so much experience with it, rather than having to like take a lot of time to like look into it.
Okay, thank you. So if Mr. Fang would like to answer
that,
you know.
To that, I will say my job is not to program the event. My job is to make sure that the programmers are staying within the budget and that they're utilizing student funds to the best of their ability.
Other questions? All right. Well, seeing none, we'll move into our discussion period. We ask that you use your time, but you're not required to. Thank you. All right, moving into discussion. Senator Kirkendall.
This will start by immediately addressing the immediate concern on everyone's minds, probably. Through the speaker to Director Cannell, I understand that there are multiple applicants for this position, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, in light of public comment, I would like to know your justification as to why you chose Kyle Fang over all the other applicants based on his inexperience within the program.
Yeah, so I think Kyle kind of touched on this in his speech, but
initially, when making my decision, I refer to the staff, and it strictly says that it's all administrative work. I'm here to guide the programmers and all of their planning expertise. That does not even touch Kyle's job duties. That's all me, and that's why you all elected me into the position I am today. I also took into account that his outside perspective could bring a new light into this department. I feel like we always have a lot of returners, and although that's awesome, they know the ins and outs of programming. It's not always to our benefit to stay in the same routine. Did that answer your question?
To the speaker, to Director Kanellian. So, addressing another component of public comment, are you confident in his ability to, I guess, go above the learning curve that he is going to obviously have with this new component of the day student?
Yeah, so upon pondering of my applicants, I also considered the teaching abilities of each applicant, and I think that because Kyle is new, it'll be easier for me to mold his outlook on the department and what exactly I need from him, whereas someone that has been in this department for a long time, that doesn't necessarily take into account my needs for the department.
I had Senator Busman written down.
I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay. We'll come back to you if you have it, Senator Martinez.
Just like a very potent concern for me is the public comment, especially the constituent being from my college. So I would just like to make through the speaker to am I allowed to?
We're actually not going to. I address public comment for clarification on a question, but we're not going to allow public comment during the approval of the nomination. Sir, no.
Just playing devil's advocate on that, because I technically asked a question to Mia Cannell, who is technically considered part of public comment right now, right? Because she's not.
She is the point and body, though, so I do think that it's relevant, too. Senator Busman?
What I was going to say is that budgeting and work with accounting is a highly transferable skill, so specific work with programming, I don't think that matters as much in this case, because what his work is doing specifically is working with the budget, and he obviously has experience with that with a much larger budget with the Senate, so I don't think that the experience argument matters too much in this situation given his past experience with budgeting.
Senator Plagueis?
I also think it's important to note that he does have some event planning experience. Like, the most important part of his job is the element of planning the budget, but it doesn't mean that he's out of touch with event programming. Being a president of a residence hall means you're planning at least 4 events a semester, and then actually planning events within his fraternity as well, so that he has seen the other side of programming. While his strength is this budgeting, and like that's why we're doing this, I think he also has insight to programming, which addresses a possible concern.
Sarah Kirkendall.
So, I believe that Kyle Fang is the right guy for the job, but despite my opinion, I'm going to be abstaining from the vote because he is a superior to me in the same organization that I'm part of.
Thank you. Senator Martinez?
I would kind of have to agree with Senator Plagueis in the sense of planning events within rest halls and being a president. Being a Peavine Hall president, I also had to follow under dimensions of wellness regarding events, in which I was also given a budget. Nowhere near similar to the spreadsheet given to us by programming, but definitely I had to plan events and understand the implementation, who to go to for our budget, even though it was structured differently within RHA. So I would also like to keep that in mind of programming when regarding the nominee.
Certainly.
I also think that I appreciate how he also looks towards like, the future and how he's like planning on investing in a generator so then it can be used for the next 10 years. Or like having a more open space for the concert so that way they can save more money and then also create a more open and friendly environment.
Other points to discussion? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of approving the nomination of Kyle Fang to the Office of Assistant Director of Event Programming, Budget, and Finance, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Aye.
Let the record show that Senator Kirkendall abstained. And then motion carries. So he is our new director. If I could have his oath of office.
Thank you. Calvin.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
Congratulations. And if you could sign both of these, and if you could secretary. We will now move into agenda item 15. Before we get into the legislation, I want to preface something real quick. That in agenda item 17, we will not be hearing tonight Senate Bill 85, an act to transfer funds from the capital fund to the Nevada Wolf Shop this week. We will be addressing it next week, where Director Dubé from the Wolf Shop can come in and testify on that legislation. So that's on next week's agenda. So. Again, it's very important that we make quorum, and we're all here for that, but thank you for that. So, agenda item 15, motion to fast-track legislation. Again, this is a motion to fast-track legislation that has not gone through committee. Senator Perkins.
Do we have to go to agenda item 14 first?
We're going to address 14 after 15. We're going to move to fast-track the legislation, and then we're going to approve it, or not approve it. So, for this, since this is my two resolutions, I would like to pass the gavel to Senator Martinez. Senator Martinez, you accept?
I accept.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. You can pass.
Okay. Still on agenda item 15, the motion to fast-track legislation. I am seeking a motion to fast-track agenda item 15A, Senate Resolution 85, a resolution to temporarily suspend Senate rules. Speaker Jackson.
I move to approve Senate Resolution 85, a resolution to temporarily suspend Senate rules IA and 1A and 2F59.
Is there a second? Senator Toole.
I second.
Now,
moving into a vote.
Discussion.
Or moving into a discussion, is there any discussion on the fast tracking of Senate Resolution 85? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor, state by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, any abstentions? Moving, or motion carries. Moving into agenda item 15B, Senate Resolution 85, a resolution to temporarily suspend Senate rules. Title 2, Chapter F, Section 5, Item... Oh, no, sorry, that's Title 2, Chapter F, Section 4, Item 1, and Title 2, Chapter G, Section 1. Speaker Jackson.
All right. I move to approve Senate Resolution 85, a resolution to temporarily suspend Senate rules, 2F41 and 2G1 by unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote.
Oh, you say, is there any, and then if there's no discussion, you just say.
Motion,
passes.
Okay. Yeah. It passes, motion carries. Moving to agenda item 14. First reading of legislation. Moving to agenda item 14A, Senate Resolution 85, a resolution to temporarily suspend Senate rules IA and 2F59. Is there any discussion? Speaker Carter.
Please.
I am seeking a motion to approve Senate Resolution 85, a resolution to temporarily suspend Senate rules, 1A and 2F59. Speaker Jackson.
I move to approve Senate Resolution 85, a resolution to temporarily suspend Senate rules, 1A and 2F59. Not by unanimous consent.
Is there a motion? Or is there a second?
I second.
Senator Toole, seconds. Moving into discussion, Speaker Jackson.
All right, I would like to present this first of all and then make an amendment to it. So both of these are to suspend the Senate rules. This first one addresses the Speaker calling a meeting of the Senate every Wednesday at 5:30 because we're going to be having them every other week at 5. And then again, it's about the Committee on Oversight too, having meetings. But I would like to move to amend the title of this piece of legislation to read Senate Binding Resolution 85, a binding resolution to temporarily suspend Senate Rules 1A and 2F59. By unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, we'll move into discussion.
On the bill.
The resolution as a whole, any discussion? Seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor, state by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, any abstentions? Moving back into the resolution as a whole with the amendment, back into discussion, is there any further discussion? Moving to a vote again for the resolution as a whole, not for the amendment. We already approved the amendment. So as a whole, all those in favor state by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, any abstentions? Motion carries. Moving to agenda item 14B. Senate resolution 85, a resolution to temporarily suspend Senate rules 2F41 and 2G2. Speaker Jackson.
I move to approve Senate Resolution 85, a resolution to temporarily suspend Senate Rules 2F41 and 2G1.
There's a motion. Is there a second? Senator Kirkendall.
Second.
Moving into discussion. Speaker Jackson.
So this addresses the points that you get if you miss meetings, which if you're not going to have meetings, the points still apply. Again, I would like to, I move to amend the title of the resolution to Senate Binding Resolution 85, a binding resolution to temporarily suspend Senate Rules 2F41 and 2G1 by unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, motion carries. Going back into,
we went on it as a whole now.
Going back into the resolution as a whole with the amendment, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we will move into a vote. All those in favor of approving
Senate Binding Resolution 85,
a binding resolution to temporarily suspend Senate Rules 2F41 and 2G1, state by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Moving into agenda item 17, second reading of legislation. Moving to agenda item 17B, an act to move monies within the ASU and Senate account. I am seeking a motion to approve agenda item 17B, Senate Bill 85, an act to move monies within the ASU and Senate account. Senator Flangus.
I move to approve Senate Bill 85, an act to move monies within the ASUN Senate account.
Is there a second? Senator Toole?
A second.
There's a second. We'll now move into discussion. Speaker Jackson.
I'd first like to present this real quick. So I propose this piece of legislation to move some money for this fiscal year. A couple of secretary positions were added during this last session, and they were actually never filled. So we have, as well as like senator seat vacancies, there's some excess in the wages line. And I wanted to give as many senators the opportunity as possible to be able to attend the Civic Leadership and Democratic Engagement Conference that's coming up this June. So that's just reallocation of some of those funds to make sure that we try to make that zero balance budget and use these funds effectively. In the attached memo that you'll see on the agenda, it kind of gives you a breakdown of where all this money's going for like flight, hotel, memberships, and different things that are going to be used during the travel. So just so you guys know where this money's going and how it will be spent. But if you have any questions for me, let me know. But That's all.
Any further discussion, questions? No? No questions? Are you guys sure? Okay. Moving out of discussion, we'll now move into a vote. All those in favor of approving Senate Bill 85, an act to move monies within the ASC 1 Senate account, all those in favor of approving, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Nicole. Sorry.
I would now like to pass the gavel back to Speaker Jackson.
I accept. Thank you. All right. Okay, we're now going to move into item C. I'm now seeking a nomination to approve Senate Bill 85, an act to move monies within the undergraduate research account. Senator Martinez.
I move to approve Senate Bill 85, an act to move monies within the undergraduate research account.
Second. Senator Kirkendall.
Second.
And Senator Kirkendall, if you would like to present your legislation to the body.
So this piece of legislation essentially moves money within the undergraduate research journal account from the host line to the operating line. So it's $1,000 of movement. The reasoning for this, and one of the representatives from the undergraduate research journal came and spoke and said that basically the host budget is allocated towards, designed to be allocated towards the launch party that they're going to have, which is no longer possible due to lockers being out of state, and that's listed out in the resolution or the legislation. And the reasoning for the movement of that money into the operating line is because they had unexpected operating expenses and they had new needs for promotional items in advertising. So the Committee on Budget and Finance looked at it, and we thought it was appropriate to favorably refer it to the Senate because it's just moving money from one place to another place within the same account, so it doesn't affect any other, you know, account, like organization, whatnot. And we felt that they were entitled to use their money in the most effective way as possible.
Thank you. Now we're going to be taking either points of discussion or questions for Senator Kirkendall concerning the legislation. Anyone? All right, seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor of approving Senate Bill 85 and asking those monies within the undergraduate research account, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Bill passes. All right, we'll move into agenda item 18, miscellaneous business, Senator reports. If you do have a report, I really ask that you keep it brief, but I know Senator Stopka had talked to me before, so he has a little report for all of you.
Alright, I'm going to try to keep this as brief as possible. It's a little bit complicated, but I'm going to like draw it up here to make it simple, simplify it. Basically, there's going to be a huge shakeup within our college. Me, Senator Cook, and Senator Becker met with our dean, Dean Schwenk, last, it was a while ago. Anyways, he basically expressed to us that DHS is essentially, the Division of Health Sciences is essentially going to get split into four different colleges. So what that does for us is that means we're going to have to add...
Senator Cook, sir.
Point of clarification, not four different colleges, it's just being split into four different areas.
Sorry, not colleges. I'm really tired.
Three of them are going to be three different colleges. So.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm very tired. Let me draw it off. Okay. So we have... DHS, Visual Health Sciences, and then four different areas it's going to go to. Three of them will be colleges, yeah. And then the last one will be just a move into a different area, to another school. So we have essentially DHS is going to stay the same, but it's going to have it's going to be made up mostly of social work. Okay, off of DHS, nursing is going to go independent. And then again, off of DHS, community health sciences is going to go independent. That's going to consist of the normal community health science stuff like kinesiology. But pre-nursing is also going to be within CHS because expressed to us that pre-nursing isn't really a major because the acceptance rate into the actual nursing school is so small. He wants to keep them in community health sciences so that if they aren't accepted, they can still pursue a different health-related degree and go on and get a job outside college. So they're going to stay in CHS until they get accepted to nursing. That means nursing will only be for third and fourth year students. And then lastly, speech pathology didn't have really anywhere to go. So speech path is going to go into the School of Medicine. So this is what it's kind of looking like. What this means for us is that for DHS, nursing, and CHS, we're going to have to like figure out how many students go into each of those and add or subtract senators accordingly. Dean Swank doesn't know the exact numbers, but he kind of said he thinks DHS will need one senator, nursing will need one senator, and then the CHS will keep three. But that's just his guess. We don't know the exact numbers. Now this, they're going to vote on the community health sciences going independent on June 8th at the Board of Regents meeting, if any of you want to go there. He expressed to me there wasn't really any dissent towards it, so he expects that it just gets fast-tracked, so it will most likely happen, but they're going to discuss and vote on it. While this is happening, this will all happen within a period of 2 years at the most. So it can go faster than that. It just depends on their dean recruitment, because they have to go hire new deans for all these colleges, and which, depending on if they get them all really quick or if it takes 2 years to get one, he expects this will happen within 2 years for sure. And then the last point, DHS will continue to have a vice president for representation at the president's table, but he will not be a direct line of authority after the split. That will go to the new deans of the colleges. Do you guys have any questions?
I know Dr. B.
I just want to make a point of clarification. Is you guys have a formula, it's the same formula the United States government uses for your reimbursement. So every single college automatically gets one center. And then the formula takes over there based on numbers. So it'll fit all that.
Okay. So, any other questions besides that?
I know Senator Becker had his hand out.
No, I'm good.
Okay, Senator Lee.
So speech pathology, is it going to be like within the School of Medicine, or is it?
Yeah. So speech pathology is kind of weird because they're mostly like online, like community thing, like certificates and such.
Sorry.
Point of clarification. So speech pathology has it moved into the medical school, but they're still undergrad. From my understanding, we're trying to have Dean Schwing come out next semester and go over this so it's more clear. But they're still undergraduate students that are considered speech pathology majors, so they will also need representation. But so basically, it will need representation for social work, and one they will go before their board as well in 2019. And they won't be called the Division of Health Sciences. They just have to be somewhere right now. So they need representation. And then nursing is Orvis. But to be enrolled in Orvis, you have to be a third or fourth year student. So where it gets technical with Orvis is there are also graduate students that are enrolled. So we'll have to figure out how to represent the undergraduates only that are enrolled in Orvis School of Nursing, and then CHS will become just the community or the College of Community Health Sciences. And the reason pre-nursing falls under that is because I know a few of you guys are pre-med. That's not your major. That's like more of like a hope that like a path that you want to go and lead to. So you our CHS with an emphasis in pre-nursing, and then if you're accepted into the nursing school, then you're nursing. So, and then speech pathology,
They'll be under the School of Medicine, but they will, like I said, they're still going to be undergraduate students, so they will also need representation. But social work and speech pathology are going to be very, very small, so that's why we're, I mean, obviously it's not set in stone at all, but they'll probably just be like the School of Education and, or Reynolds, like small colleges, but they still need representation.
I think it'd be totally beneficial to have your dean come to Senate at the start of next semester to kind of talk about this. I'd be curious to ask whether or not, you know, those undergrads within the School of Medicine would be considered, like, we would need a senator for the School of Medicine, or, like, they would be under interdisciplinary programs. There's just a lot, but I had, just kind of really, did you already ask the question?
Sorry,
I didn't cross your name off. Senator Buffin.
So I'm not completely familiar with the equation or the formula for how senators are apportioned, but could this potentially remove senator positions from other colleges, or are the one senator?
I can clarify for that too. So before my first session, there were two senators for the College of Education, but because of reapportionment, College of Education only has one senator now, where College of Science now has three, where they used to have two and two. So yeah, that does happen with reapportionment. Sorry, Senator Kirkendall.
I think this will probably answer Senator Bussing's question. So I think what he's asking is if, like, we're going to lose any senators during this term, right? Is that kind of
pretty no, I mean, if you split off speech pathology into its own representation, and you're removing that position from another college, even though it's an exceedingly small, like, group of students compared to another college, I don't think that's a fair split to make and remove representation from another college.
Dr. B.
Okay, so this will be a problem to be tackled at a later time, all in all, right? But the way the apportionment system works is every single college, right? It would be like saying that a state doesn't get any senators, just they've got 2,000 people in California, they've got 6 million. They automatically get senators.
And I will mention too, I think that this can be discussed at another time, but College of Education, College of Journalism, College of Journalism, I mean School of Journalism, Reynolds School of Journalism, only has about 600 students, where College of Education has about 1,200, so, I mean, still, like, even they have double the amount of students, they still get the same amount of representation because of the reapportionment formula, and I'd love to talk to you more about that if you're curious, but that's just kind of how it works. But Senator Bussing, did you have an additional point? I had your name in there.
No.
No? Who else has their hand up? Senator Poyer.
I'm just wondering, to change the formula to include a bigger number of senators, is that something that we're able to do as a Senate body, or is that something we pass on to the students to vote on?
I am actually not sure about that right now. Dr. B, if you have an answer.
The formula itself is in stats.
So it's something we can vote on.
Right. There's talk about apportionment and reapportionment in the Constitution, so go in and read it, and it'll tell you everything you need to know.
I'd love to look into that with you further if that's something you want to explore. Anyone else? Any questions for Senator Stopka? Right. And again, if we do have that dean come again, we can talk to him about it. But thank you. All right. We'll move into agenda item 19, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 20, public comment. Is there any public comment this time, Dr. B?
Couple of last things. I know everyone's tired. First thing, I keep getting questions about if you're going to be trained in this technology. The only person that needs to know this technology will be Hannah, or Speaker Jackson, or Speaker Pro Tem Martinez in her absence. What will happen is she will actually just send you a link via email, and when the meeting time comes, all you do is click on the link, and the camera will pick you up and put you on the screen. And then when the little thing's up on the screen, you can choose to turn the camera off, you can choose to turn the sound off. It's up to you, like, what you want to do. You kind of control it. But it's a super simple screen. And all you have to do is click on the link that she sends out and then log in, like, 5 minutes before the meeting. But she will get all the training on the GoToMeeting. Now, anyone else that wants to learn about GoToMeeting, you can actually put in a technology request on the website, and one of our own people can teach you how to utilize that software. If you want to utilize it to, like, you know, do brainstorming sessions, or if your committee actually wants to meet one time over the summer. What else did I write? I wrote stuff on the board, so I don't forget.
Celebrating?
Okay, yep, talked about summer meetings. We talked about, oh, summer meetings, remember you are senators. Students are paying into the association over the summer, so you are expected to make summer senate meetings. That's okay. You can do it electronically, you can do whatever. Everyone may need to miss one. Two summers ago, Senate didn't make quorum like 90% of the time. It was really disappointing, right? Last year, they only missed once, and that's because at the time, Speaker Teixeira was like on the phone calling people like, you need to get here. If you do have an issue with GoToMeeting, you can FaceTime anyone in the group and attend the meeting that way, right? And if it's even worse, you can just be on the phone on speaker. It's up to you. The appointments tonight, I want to talk about a little bit. So what you guys did, right, was you selected a nominee between two people, and then you voted on whether or not to confirm that nomination or to appoint that person. And what you did was fully within your rights, as far as I interpret how the meeting goes. I just want to make sure that any of the people that voted not to put that person into office, I want you to think long and hard about, was it because you believe that candidate was not qualified for the position, or was it because your candidate was not nominated? Because if it was because your candidate was not nominated, that's not fair to the College of Engineering. If it was because you really believe that the candidate was not qualified to hold that Senate seat, that's a whole other matter, right? Because that, in essence, is your job. So I would go back, look at the qualifications, think about everything you talked about tonight, that this is a classroom, right? And contemplate on whether or not you really felt that candidate did or did not make that qualification. I've never, you know, I don't know, maybe you all really believe that. There's also a tendency, right, when the individual that you wanted didn't get to vote in, you're like, well, I'm not voting for this person, my candidate didn't get in, right? So why I think we saw a drop-off in elections last year, and this is pure theoretical, I've got no evidence to do it, but right, we had four people running for president, and then two of those people didn't make it past primaries, and my guess is a lot of people didn't turn back up to vote because their presidential or vice presidential candidate didn't get in. So it's just something to think about. It's human nature to kind of do that subconsciously, and it's my job to challenge you guys on that kind of stuff. Now, hey, maybe it was everyone really believed that the candidate didn't, but it's just something that I think you guys should reflect on a little bit.
Thank you. And going back to the summer meeting stuff, I got my training on GoToMeeting today, so we should be all good to go, and I'll be sending you guys that information as soon as possible. I ask that you please just do, I know I've had some conversations with people, but honestly, like, I couldn't keep track of everyone that's doing everything, but if you're not going to be present at this meeting, I would like for you to either in an email or text message just notify me how you're going to be connecting. So whether it has to be by phone call or if you're using the GoToMeeting software, it would be really beneficial for me to know in advance just so I can make sure everyone's coordinated and ready to go for that. But is there any additional public comment this time? So, Dr. B.
Sorry, I will say one more thing. I did really like the dialogue though at the table tonight, like the questions that were asked and the vetting out. That was all really good.
I agree. I'd like to second that. That was great. But all right. If there's no further public comment, I adjourn this meeting at 8:49 p.m.